Many parts of the central U.S. have been above 100 degrees for more than a month straight. A Rapid City, South Dakota police officer was killed in the line of duty after a man pulled out a gun and fired at officers. Police Chief Steve Allender says Officer Ryan McCandless was 28 years old.
Ryan paid the ultimate price today. These officers are heroes. I would just ask you and the rest of the community to honor them.
This was the first time since 1985 a Rapid City police officer was killed while on duty. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Who are you?
Call Account Temps for your temporary... accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
I can test drive a car before I buy it. I can try out the gym before I join.
So why not try out the savings at Sam's Club free? It's the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th, where you can shop for back to class and save more on laptops, supplies, and appliances. No membership required.
Test drive the savings for yourself
at the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
A noteworthy carryover effect has been seen from the 2 to 3% losses for Wall Street's indexes yesterday. The main indexes in Japan and Hong Kong each have fallen 2% today. European indexes off half to a full 1%. S&P futures, though, gaining 7 points. NASDAQ futures up 11. Two of the three big credit rating agencies have now weighed in on the new U.S. debt ceiling law. Fitch earlier yesterday and Moody's last evening, maintaining their AAA ratings on the U.S. government, although Moody's is holding a negative outlook. And Fitch warns that this latest deal is not enough by itself for the U.S. to keep the perfect rating. We have yet to hear from Standard & Poor's rating service. Newly public company Dunkin' Donuts has another notch in its belt. Its Dunkin' Donuts coffee is making its debut for the K-Cup. It's considered a bit of a coffee coup because Dunkin' is beating Starbucks to the punch. Starbucks will begin offering Keurig cups beginning in the fall. S&P futures up 7 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the Better Business Banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
We're mid-sized businesses.
The engines of a smarter planet.
We want to get more from our data
while paying less to store it.
That's why we need innovative, cost-effective data storage solutions.
Like the IBM StoreWise V7000.
It can simplify storage management
and improve application performance by up to 200%.
Solutions starting at $1,250 per month for 36 months. Learn more at ibm.com/engine/storage. Prices subject to change by IBM without notice.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano, and it's just after 6 o'clock on this wet Wednesday morning. The clouds are clearing. The humidity is staying. The Advil is close by for those of us with sinus headaches. Between politics and the weather, oh, sweet God. And off we go, off we go, off we go. We got a lot to get to today, and we'll get to it all, I promise. As I say every day, I never get to it all, but I'm going to do my best. I will do my absolute best. A good morning to all of you, and I want to welcome you back to another edition of First Shift. It seems to me that here we are now 3 days into August, and we've got some election news to get to today. I'm happy to tell you that the Troy Library millage passed, and it had absolutely nothing to do with us, but I'm happy for Sue Martin and all the people that worked so hard in Troy to get that 0.7 mills passed. And actually, most of the millages throughout Metro Detroit area did quite well yesterday, especially in Livonia. The police and fire millage passed overwhelmingly, which is a good thing, of course, for that city. After we learned what we learned yesterday about that vegetable packing plant, they're going to need all the cops they can get. We're going after them. We're definitely going to go after them. And we'll get to all that. We've got, again, we've got a lot to get to. Our guests today are great. We have three great guests today. Joining us at 7:30, documentarian and filmmaker Gary Glazer will be with us to talk about an event happening at the Detroit Historical Museum, and one of his movies about the Hudson's Building, which I watched the other day, which was really interesting. We'll be talking to him. Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, will be with us. And by the way, the Free website is down this morning, which has kind of got me a little befuddled. It's it is my lifeline. And Senator Gretchen Whitmer, the minority leader in the state Senate, will be with us as well. We'll find out what she's been doing on her not quite summer vacation, but we'll get to all of that. And, of course, lots of issues as we walk our way through the morning. And I want to extend a hearty greeting to Mr. Jeff Radford this morning, who for a Wednesday morning is in a pretty good mood, which is unusual for Jeff. But I know why he's in a good mood. Because not only did he work his butt off yesterday, he worked this show, he did work for Clear Channel, he did work for the radio station in Ann Arbor. He also pitched a doubleheader last night and hit a home run in his, on his softball team, and it's all about Jeff, so that works out well for us, Jeff.
Yeah, it was my arm's a little tired after patting myself on the back this morning, so it was fun. I had fun last night.
Yeah, I went to pat him on the back, folks, and he started screaming, "Don't touch me." I don't know what that's all about, but we'll leave that alone for now.
Stranger danger. We were taught that as kids, so I just figured I would scream that out loud.
And they don't get any stranger than me, that's for sure. Of course, a stranger doesn't always mean someone you don't know. Sometimes it is somebody you know all too well. So I'm with you on that one. Well, congratulations on a good night of softball for you, and a good night for our Detroit Tigers, who came from behind in the eighth inning to win against the Texas Rangers last night. A very, very talented Texas Rangers ball club. But you're very excited about tonight's game, are you not?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can't wait for to get Fistered. Doug Fister will pitch for the Tigers.
Now, you might want to really stop and think about what you're saying sometimes.
No, I like that. I like the saying. I think the Rangers, actually, the way I've been saying it is the Rangers will get Fistered because Doug Fister is making his major league debut, number 58 for the Tigers.
Is that what number he took here?
Yeah, it is. And I think he's going to be pretty eye-opening for the Tigers. He's been so consistent, so solid for a team that is so bad that he's going to be amped up and excited to play for the Tigers. And again, it's not a great – I mean, like you said, the Rangers are very talented, very offensively gifted. So it's not like the best debut to make for a new team against a team like the Rangers, unless he shuts them down, I guess. So,
well, you know, I forgot who pitched last night for the Rangers, but it was one of
Colby
their
Lewis.
Yeah, and it was one of their trade acquisitions, and it didn't work out too well for him.
Well, you know, the Tigers are a little bit better offensively than the Seattle Mariners, but like you said, last night's game, very exciting, and especially after I got into a little battle with people about just how good Brendan Bosch was. And when he hit the game-winning home run, which ended up being the game-winning home run, against a guy who's only given up 4 home runs in the last 2 years or something like that, I felt pretty good about sticking up for Brendan Bosch.
Well, and he's a pretty gifted ball player, so there's no question that sticking up for him is really not a stretch for anybody. But they did well, so they maintain. Did Cleveland end up getting rained out last night?
They lost. They did lose 3-2 to the Boston Red Sox.
So we're up by 3 games now.
I believe that's correct.
All right. Well, good. I'll be happier when we're up by 7 or 8 games, but I'll take them 1 game at a time because I don't have a choice. You know, really not much to talk about in the world of football, and I don't expect there will be for a few weeks. I mean, the big free agent stuff is pretty much settled down. You know, I think there was really no, I got to tell you, it's been kind of quiet, and that's not a bad thing, and allows us to, I guess, ease back into football a little bit. You know, the Lions are having some early training camp injury issues, but everybody's going to have those, so I don't worry about that stuff this early on in training camp anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The big news is just how injured Nick Fairley might be. I think he was wearing a walking cast yesterday or some kind of
just a boot. He was wearing that air boot, and it was just for stability purposes. Now, I got one story. My son Anthony got a different one. He got that there may be a microfracture in his foot, and I got that his x-rays were negative, so I don't know.
Yeah, it really depends on, I think people were speculating because he was wearing the air boot, you know? I don't know exactly how bad it is, and that would be a big loss, because I think, you know, he needs to play right away. And I'm not saying start, he's just getting around the guys, and especially following the lead of Bosch and, or Vanden Bosch and Sue. Because those are the guys that they need to take him under the wing and teach him, you know, the ropes, basically. Which is weird to say for Sue, who hasn't been around all that often, and yet, you know, one season of pretty good success, and I'm already considering him a vet.
Well, you should, because he's performing like one, so give him his due where it's due. You know, Jeff, I'm looking at you know, what's happened over the last couple of weeks and this whole debt ceiling thing, and we're going to really kind of clean up our conversation on this today. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because the deal's done. The president signed the legislation yesterday afternoon, and it is what it is. And I know people are either disappointed or happy or whatever they are. I posted something to the First Shift Facebook page this morning, an article that's titled Paul Krugman is a Political Rookie, or How Barack Obama Left John Boehner Holding the Teabag Again. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not trying to spin it. I just put some information out there. I'm disappointed. I don't like it. It's done and over. And we need to move on from that. In fact, our poll question of the day today is, what do they do now? Now that they've got this behind them, what do they do now? And there are, of course, some suggested agenda items out there, like create jobs or protect entitlements, end wars, reform the tax code. And people can feel free to add to that, Jeff. But you've got to wonder, Congress will be going into recess here very soon for 5 weeks. So we're not going to see a whole lot of anything get done. Now, I kind of see this as an opportunity for the president to find his feet and get it back underneath him. The president won't be taking 5 weeks off, that's for sure. And so he needs to kind of steal back the spotlight a little bit. However he's going to be able to do that, I don't know. But Jeff, I got to tell you, I think it's time we really move on from this debt ceiling talk.
Yeah, let's hope so. And changing the conversation, I think, is already starting to happen. We'll take a look at that during the audio segment because we got a couple of clips. But it's amazing how quickly the conversation was changed, and they used the debt ceiling to focus on the negatives of the economy, when really, if it was anyone else in office, perhaps, you're still concentrating on getting bin Laden and settling foreign affairs. I mean, stuff like that. And the conversation got changed into, well, look how bad the economy is, even though it was based on a bill that, you know, bills that you have to pay from a previous years down the road.
Well, it was interesting because I was reading a pundit yesterday afternoon, and, you know, he made the point, you know, where do we go from here, which is kind of where I got, you know, my poll question idea for the morning. He says, you know, let me remind the country that we were debating steroid use in baseball before the debt ceiling debacle happened, which the United States government has no business in the steroid use, the trial or whatever the hell hearing they were doing. Anyway, I mean, that's not where our federal government should be placing their energies. So it's very interesting. But there is stuff that we've learned from this, Jeff, and I think that we need to spend some time, as we will today, talking about some of those lessons. I know the president had something to say about that. Congressman Barney Frank has a little message for the Tea Party Express as well. And, you know, I've got some stuff I want to add to this today, too. I'm a little disappointed, and I'm gonna use our own recall effort to tell you why I think we need to change the conversation a little bit. I'm a little tired of political spin, whether it's at the local level or at the national level. It doesn't matter. I'm tired of it. We need to start talking in plain English, folks. We're going to do that today. And so this may make some of you uncomfortable. I make no apologies for that. I'm not happy. It can all be turned around, and all we have to do is look to Wisconsin as a model of excellence. And I mean that. As political excellence, the state of Wisconsin, they get it, and they get it in a very big way. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595 is the phone number. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take a quick break here and be back on 1310 WDTW. Thanks for punching in.
Michigan News Talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, still clearing our earlier accidents, eastbound 696 before I-75 from the right side, and 96 east after Novi. That one's been trying to clear from the right side. Wet roadways, though, the potential for more accidents. You want to keep your speeds down this morning.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, look for rain throughout the day. Our high near 83. Tonight, though, cloudy and a low near 69. Tomorrow, cloudy and a high of 84. Right now, we still have some rain and mist at Metro Airport. It's 74 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're what are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and this state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Bruce Levine, thanks so much for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about powerlessness.
One of the things I think that people who've never participated out there, they sort of see the landscape, they see how much power the government has and these corporations have and feel like the whole thing is a scam and it's crooked and you move into kind of a, not only a helplessness and hopelessness, but a cynicism. But I think if you get in the battle, even if you don't win an immediate victory, what happens is you do get rewards right away. You do get comrades. You do get solidarity.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. We are going to go to the phones. And, you know, we're always open lines in this first hour, folks, so whatever's on your mind, you know, you feel free to ring in on that, 888-552-3595. I want to welcome Greg and Troy back to First Shift. Greg, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Real briefly, with Troy, I voted against the millage, and I called in a few.
Yeah, no, yeah, I remember. We had that conversation, absolutely.
It's okay that it passed, you know, that's fine. And, but I think, for the residents of Troy, they better get ready because, this will not be the end of it. They will keep coming back and learn a good lesson, just like the teabaggers learned a good lesson. You can threaten and use a few scare tactics and usually, you know, the people will fall in line. But, be that as it may. You know, I hope I'm wrong about that, but I don't think I am.
Well, Greg, if you would, just before you move on, let me ask you what you mean by that. They will be back. What do you mean by, who do you mean by them? The teabaggers will be back?
No, not the teabaggers. Well, we're talking Troy now, so yeah, you can probably say teabaggers. But the teabaggers, I wouldn't give them credit for getting this millage passed. Because of their tax, they're staying on taxes. But I would say, basically, to generalize, the city council, the city manager, the administrative people that basically mismanaged the city. I'm not putting all the blame on them for the city's financial woes, but I believe. Excuse me. I believe there were other things that could have been done to keep the library open, and I don't think they would have actually closed the library if the millage hadn't passed. But they found that the path of least resistance is to threaten people with something that's very important, and the library is important, obviously, and people will usually roll over, and I predict that this will not be the end of it. You know,
what do you think?
Issues in the future.
What do you think was the difference? I mean, this was the third time that millage for the library was up. The first two times it was defeated. What do you think was the difference, Greg, this time that it won?
To tell you the truth, I know from my polling area, the turnout was light. I think a lot of people that were in opposition just didn't show up. I think people And I can transition this into a thing on a national level, too. I think a lot of people have become just thrown up their hands and said, you know, you vote it down, you vote it down, but the people's will is never heard, and it's never it never stops. They will just keep coming back and coming back and coming back until they get their way. So I think a lot of people just said, I'm not going. Matter of fact, I know people that didn't go, and I asked the people at my polling station there, and the turnout was light. So
I and again, I don't know how many registered voters you have in Troy. I happen to have the numbers in front of me. Those voting in favor of the millage was 12,000. This is 100% of the precincts reporting, 12,246. Those voting against it were 8,799. And so, you know, that's a pretty sound victory for the yeses. 58% is a pretty pretty substantial victory. Again, I don't, you know, and of course, primaries aren't heavily attended anyway. Greg, let me tell you, I live in Dearborn Heights. The only thing on the ballot yesterday was the city clerk race, primary. I get there at 6 o'clock last night. I was the 12th person at my precinct. 12th.
Well, that's not good. I don't know. I can't, you know, why would it be voted down twice and then pass on the third time? I think, obviously, the people that wanted it to pass maybe worked a little harder. Well, I know they worked a little harder because I got my door knocked on by people that were in favor of it, and no one nobody really got active as far as saying no. I think they put a lot of information out in favor. They put very little opposition information out. You had to really dig and look to find anything to get to the facts.
Well, I will tell though, the one day that you called and we were talking and you'd thrown out the salary of the city manager, I got inundated after the show of people telling me that, you know, that you were wrong, and, you know, they actually told me his salary was $130,000, not $250,000, and, you know, and so people were paying attention that day, Craig, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he had a pension package.
Right, he has a pension from, absolutely, he you know, he's one of those guys that is double dipping, that's the term that's used.
You know, Troy's not that big a city. Why does the city of Troy need a city manager, an assistant city manager, and an assistant city manager?
Well, that's a great question, and that's something, you know, Greg, as you know, that community has to work through. I'm sorry it didn't go the way you wanted it to. As you know, Greg, I supported the millage increase, but as I said to you on the air, it's not my money. Whether it won or lost doesn't affect me at all. I just happen to think that every city should have a library, and maybe they would have kept it open, but they said that it would have closed on this Friday had they had not passed that millage.
Well, I would have liked to have seen the bluff call, just like I think Obama should have held out and called the bluff of the teabaggers. Obama, and I'm a big supporter of Obama, or I was, put it that way. I was very active within my district and within my, and as a union person, I worked the phones. I did a lot of knocking on doors to get President Obama elected. I absolutely despise the Republicans. They are destroying the country, and the teabaggers are the most extreme extension of that. But as far as I'm concerned, Obama and the Democrats, I put it on the Democrats in general. He had a great opportunity to finally expose to those people out here that refuse to acknowledge the facts for whatever reason. He had a great opportunity to expose them for what they really are. He should have called their bluff. If necessary, even let the shutdown happen. Let the default happen. Stop paying Social Security benefits to these teabaggers. Stop sending checks to the guys in uniform. Let these people understand what these Republicans and these teabaggers are really all about and to what extremes they will go to further their misguided, whatever their
well, and Greg, and I,
what Americans should
absolutely,
be.
And I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Let me just respond to that by saying that it would have been very dangerous to allow the country to go into default. There was a lot going on had that had happened. It would have been devastating. It would have cost this country trillions of dollars, in my humble opinion, had we have even gone into a default for 20 minutes. That bad that fast. The world markets were waiting with bated breath, and we needed to pass something. Let me clean this thought up on the other side because we got to get to the break. But I'll tell you, you know, to be quite honest with you, as unhappy as I am, I do believe that there's an opportunity for Democrats in this. And I'll explain that on the other side. I'm Tony Truppiano. Greg, thank you so much for your call. 888-552-3595. We'll take a quick break here. This is Detroit's only progressive talk show. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. You want to be extra careful through our construction zones with all construction barrels and wet roadways. Rain coming down could be kind of extra tough, and you got to remember the safety of those working in the area. As you head along M59, remember, still construction from Crooks out to Updike.
The weather is hot, but McDonald's is still here to quench your thirst with our $1 any size soft drinks or sweet tea. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high near 83. Tonight, though, cloudy and a low near 69. Tomorrow, cloudy and a high of 84. Right now, we still have some rain and mist at Metro Airport. It's 74 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
1,300 employees at American Crystal Sugar Plants in three states remain locked out of their factories today. The lockout came after 96% of employees voted down the most recent contract offer. The primary issue was a proposal to move the union employees into a health plan that covers the company's non-union employees. That would more than double health care costs to those workers. A second proposal called for some union jobs to be contracted out to non-union workers. However, the company said it added language that would prevent jobs that could result in layoffs being contracted out. American Crystal Sugar is currently using replacement workers to keep the production lines moving. As organized labor pours political resources into the Wisconsin recall fight and other efforts to defend collective bargaining, labor is warning politicians not to take its support for granted. Doug Cunningham has more.
At a nurses' rally in Washington, AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka repeated a warning to politicians that workers want a politically independent labor movement, and labor won't be supporting politicians who don't support workers. Trumka first sounded this warning at a National Press Club speech in May.
Powerful political forces are seeking to silence working people. Working people want a labor movement strong enough to help return balance to our economy, fairness to our tax system, security to our families, and moral and economic standing to our nation. And it doesn't matter if candidates and parties are controlling the wrecking ball or simply standing aside to let it happen. The outcome is the same either way to us. If leaders aren't blocking the wrecking ball and advancing working families' interest, then working people will not support them.
Trumka says AFL-CIO is redoing its entire political program, intent on supporting only politicians who support workers.
The robots are coming. China Business News reported this week that Foxconn Technology Group is planning to replace hundreds of thousands of workers with nearly 1 million robots. The rollout will take place over the next 3 years. Foxconn is the primary manufacturer of Apple products and has been plagued with employee suicides in recent years. Students and Scholars Against Corporate Misbehavior investigated Foxconn last year and allegedly discovered bullying and numerous instances of employee abuse. Often, the organization alleged, the company forced employees to work shifts as long as 12 hours without breaks.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano, and a pleasure to be with you this morning. Thanks for punching in with us. It is early, but, you know, I always say the early bird gets the sausage McMuffin with cheese. Well, that's not true, but not yet. You know, again, we can remind you, in radio, we live on our stomachs. And speaking of somebody that lives on his stomach, I got to tell you, we've got somebody on the line. And this guy and I have spent a lot of early mornings together. At one time, he managed one of my restaurants. He's a very good friend of mine. His name's Bob, and he joins us this morning. Bob, thanks for getting up with me this morning. I appreciate it.
Good morning, Tony. How are you today?
Good. Been a while since you and I were up this early together.
It has been. It has been. I miss the old days a little bit.
A little bit. I gotcha. What's on your mind this morning, Bob?
Well, you know, Tony, after this big vote yesterday, I got to thinking, and, you know, for the past couple of weeks, I know you've been very intent on calling our conservative friends terrorists on their attitude toward the debt ceiling, as well as a number of your guests have used that word and thrown it around as well. A number of your callers have called, you know, the conservative people, the Tea Party people, terrorists. And, you know, it got me into thinking yesterday. We had a lot of Democrats, a lot of liberals, progressives that voted against this debt ceiling raise. I thought maybe if the audience could, when they call in, let me know who their favorite liberal Democratic terrorist is. Maybe Gabby Giffords. I know she voted no.
No, she voted yes. Gabby Giffords voted yes, Bob.
Or voted yes. I'm sorry. That's right. Gabby did vote for this. But that's what I was wondering, Tony, is, you know, do you have a favorite liberal terrorist?
Now, let's see. I got to put some thought to that.
Maybe?
Dennis Kucinich is not a terrorist. Bob, how is he a terrorist? Give me, let's compare apples to apples. Give me a Tea Party person and a liberal that you would say would be of equal stature.
Well, actually, Tony, I wouldn't. See, because I was offended by the word terrorist, that any of the conservatives, any of the Tea Party movement people, that their actions were terrorist in nature. And so I don't believe anybody's a terrorist, but because the word terrorist had been thrown around so much over the last couple of weeks, not only on your show, but across America, on television, it is an offensive word.
All right, I'll play the game here, Bob. Then what do we call these extremely ultra-conservative right-wing people that don't understand or didn't seem to understand what we were at the brink of doing? Because this deal that we struck that the president signed yesterday doesn't really accomplish anything.
I agree with you on that, Tony. I agree. I'm not happy with the deal either. I was much happier with the cut cap and balance.
All right, and we knew that wasn't going to fly for a lot of reasons. Just wasn't going to get through the Senate. I mean, this is where the politics of this issue really grates at me. We have serious issues in this country. There is no question we have a spending problem. I've said that up front. You know, you and I had a private conversation about this.
We
have a serious spending problem in this country. We also have a serious revenue issue, and I hate using their dialogue, but I have to do it because it's the way they're doing it. We need to take a serious look at our tax code. Now, if John Boehner is being true to his word and he wants serious tax reform, let's put it out there. Let's have that discussion.
I'm okay with that as well. I think there is areas that the taxes can be reformed. I would like to see a more fair, more balanced system as well. However, I don't think calling them terrorists does us any good. I think to look at that movement, Tony, those folks had a deep down belief that not doing something serious to the spending that's going on in this country would seriously affect the future of this country. And you have to understand, Tony, if somebody believes that deep down in their heart, they're going to stick up for their convictions.
I understand that, but they also, Bob, and I don't mean to rush you, I've got some other callers. Bob,
sure.
They also took an oath of office, and I believe they turned their back on that oath of office. We're going to have this discussion again. I need to, before I let you go, I need to tell you, when I email you back, it bounces back to me. I don't think you're getting my emails.
I tell you what, try it again. I've added you to my phone book.
All right.
I heard our little Boehner bet. You accepted that over the airwaves. thank you very much. I'm looking forward to September 1st, and I'm thinking Ruth's Chris, maybe.
All right, but, all right. I'll start saving my you know, Michigan 10-cent deposit bottle deposit money now, Bob. Thank you so much for your call. Again, I've known Bob a long time, and on politics, we certainly have great disagreement, but he's a dear friend, and I love him very much. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Lee in Farmington now. Lee, welcome to the show. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Tony. I am not as versed in politics as you or Bob, but, you know, far as I'm saying, they have such a conviction, and they think that this country is going down. They're trying to save the country. Again, they hate Obama more than they love this country, and they're willing to sacrifice the country to get rid of Obama.
You know what, but Lee, let me interrupt you for just a second. We need to buy into something. We need to buy into the fact that from where they stand, they really do believe that what they want for the country is what's best for the country. Now, Lee, I'm not asking you to agree with them, but we have to agree with that. You don't form, Lee, a third-party movement in this country and then go ahead and organize and then put candidates out there and then get those candidates elected if there isn't some legitimacy to their passion, Lee.
Oh, I agree. But I'm just saying that the impetus behind their passion is what we need to really look at. But, you know, that's not really why I called this morning. So if we want to believe that they have some kind of benevolent, modus operandi going, we can go ahead and do that. I don't agree. I just want to say that true progressives have become woefully blasé. Okay, that's how the Tea Party gained any of its influence today. This is a time in history. I'm a child of the 70s and 80s. I never imagined that we would have the president, you know, who represents the people that we have today. And we're getting so blasé. Like when you buy a kid a pony, he wants the pony so bad. Now he has a pony. After 6 months, he's not happy about it anymore. We have the perfect opportunity, the first time in our history, to actually change things. Whether Obama does it or not, we can do it. If not now, when? Do we think when Obama leaves office we're going to have any more of an opportunity to change things? Do we have time to sit on our hands? If not now, when? That's what I want to ask our progressives, you know, our liberals, people who really want to change.
Well,
we're letting the Tea Party and the Republicans take over, and it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Well, and Lee, thank you for your call. As always, I appreciate your passion. You know, I appreciate you. There's no question what Lee says is true. And this kind of feeds into what I was going to say anyway, so I might as well just do that now. Ladies and gentlemen, as I preach to you almost on a daily basis about, you know, getting up and standing up and moving and doing something, I need to use a local example. And again, I'm going to piss some people off here, but it's time it's said. The recall effort of Governor Snyder is embarrassing. And it's embarrassing because, frankly, we collected more signatures in the month of July as a movement than in the entire, I mean, you know, it's embarrassing. April, May, June, July. I understand that at the beginning of the campaign, it wasn't well organized. They didn't have a lot of volunteers. But I hear on a daily basis from you folks, and I know there are a lot of people working very, very hard to gather signatures. But if you look to our brothers and sisters in Wisconsin and you see what they're able to do, I mean, we're not talking about an effort. We're talking about multiple efforts. And these folks are showing up in droves. If you in the state of Michigan, you progressives, you Democrats, you liberals, if you think you're proving something, the only thing you're really proving to the country is you still don't get it. You're not showing up. You're not putting in the effort. To those that are, I congratulate you. I want to thank you for your passion, your energy. I have covered the recall as much as I possibly can. We'll talk about it practically on an everyday basis. But to only have 300,000 signatures at this point is a disgrace to the progressives in this state, and it is disappointing to me as a political activist. Now, can it be saved? Absolutely. But it can only be saved, as Lee says, if people stop being so blatant about what's happening. What in the hell are you people waiting for? Truly, what are you waiting for? If you want success, you know, a micro example of that is what happened at the Troy Library. They got off the couch. They knocked. What did Greg just say? They knocked on the doors. When he wanted to get anti-millage information, he had to go look for it. That's what happens when people stand up. They made a compelling argument. I gave you the numbers. 58 to 42% in favor of that millage passing. That's a huge victory. That's a huge victory. But we can't do anything anymore unless we make a concerted effort and really commit to change. And it's going to take a whole lot more than you think it is. And to me, that number, that 300,000 signature number, is a clarion call to all of us that if we don't get our blank together really, really soon, anything that you think looks like democracy will totally disappear and dissipate. Think long and hard about what commitment you are willing to make to change. And if you're waiting for the 2012 election cycle, you really don't get this. You can't wait for a year from now. You can't wait for next year's primaries. That's not what this is about. And what is it that you don't get about that? We need to start building and collecting and growing right now. And I really don't think you folks get it. I really don't. We'll take a break here. John in Clinton Township's coming up. If you want to give us a call, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you here on 1310 WDTW. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Tony Trupiano. Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Yeah, the phones have been hot this morning, and for good reason. Folks, we are in crisis mode. I'm going to talk about this more as we work our way, and we've got open lines at the top of the hour as well. But we need to solve some problems here today. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Let me welcome John in Clinton Township to the show. John, welcome aboard. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Tony? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was watching primetime television yesterday, and Diane Sawyer, and she had some good news to report. All Obama's campaign clothes are made in America, where a lot of the other politicians' clothes are made overseas, even though a lot of them preach about buying American products and trying to get people back to work. So I thought that was pretty good. And Gingrich was one of them. His clothes are made overseas, and so were Ron Paul. So it kind of shows you where their priorities are.
Well, you know what? And this is not uncommon. You know, John, it's kind of like when you get your campaign literature printed. You know, I still do, everything I have done is done by a union printer. It has that little union bug on it. Even the coffee mugs we're going to start giving away on the show has the union bug on it. You know,
I'll gladly drink out of one of those cups.
Well, we'll make sure that you get one as soon as we start giving them away. John, my point is, you have to make an effort to do it the right way. The Republicans don't make that effort.
I agree with you 100%, and, I just thought you'd like to hear a little bit of good news there.
So no, I appreciate that.
Yep. Hey, it's good talking to you, and keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you, John. I do appreciate that. You know, that is, you know, in Democratic circles, folks, just so you understand, especially within a campaign, you don't do anything without a union shop. I mean, that should probably go without saying, but you understand, there's serious thought put into this stuff. This is not just, I happen to do it. If you are a Democrat running for office and you don't use a union shop, you will not get support for your campaign, as it should be that way. Solidarity, right, guys? Solidarity, isn't
solidarity.
That your line? There you go. It's all about solidarity. 888-552-3595. Bruce Felk joins us again. Bruce, welcome back to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, Tony. I was listening to your rant there about comparing, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin, and I, you know, because I'm in Madison a lot with my, you know, I've been there ever since the, you know, the protests first started. And I, on some level, on a lot of levels, I agree with what you said. I mean, when I've been in Madison, they have 150,000 people on a pretty regular basis at the Capitol. When I come to Michigan, I've been to the Capitol for the protests that we've had there, even our best one, you know, 5,000 or 6,000, that one that you were at, 5,000 or 6,000 people. That's a huge difference in passion level. And I think there's, you know, to me anyway, this is my perspective, is that, you know, in Wisconsin, the party's behind everything. The unions are behind everything. Their people come out. You know, they have it all going on. In Michigan, we've got, you know, Mark Brewer's, oh, we don't want to get involved. The unions, oh, we don't want to get involved. You know, it's a little bit too risky because we might not, you know, we've got contract negotiations coming up or whatever their reasons happen to be. And they do not, you know, they do not fire up their base. The unions, God love them, they do a great job on so many things, but they're not as involved in these efforts as I think they need to be if we really want to make it work.
Well, you know, and Bruce, you and I have had this conversation off air as well. No, we can't change what we can't change, so we have to take what we've got. Now, listen, it's not like the majority of the people in any of the movements here on the ground, whether it's the emergency manager bill, whether it's the recall of the governor or any one of their 23 now, 23 state lawmakers now being recalled, Bruce, 23. I'm telling you, the majority of those people are union people doing the heavy lifting anyway. And so it just doesn't get that official stamp. Do we really need, Bruce, that official stamp? Do you really think that that's the thing that puts it over the top?
I don't know if it's the thing that puts it over the top, but I see the difference in the passion. I see the difference in the numbers. That's what I see with my own eyes when I go to a rally in Michigan and I go to a rally in Wisconsin. I went to Benton Harbor. I drove 3.5 to 4 hours to go to the parade in Benton Harbor where Rick Snyder marched in that parade.
Yeah,
there
back in May.
There were maybe 1,000 people. And we should have had 10. We should have covered the parade route with people. That is, you know, the Republicans throw around this word fascism. What's happening in Benton Harbor is real fascism. It's not this, you know, this thing that, you know, that they're talking about with, you know, with President Obama, with, you know, like with the car industry loans.
Well, so it begs, but Bruce, then it just begs the question, why are not people, I mean, again, we hear people call this show, I get emails from people, go on Facebook, there's a lot of chatter and all that's great, but when push comes to shove, the numbers just aren't there. We're just not moving the conversation in the direction it needs to go. And again, if people are just waiting for the right reason or the right season, I don't know what it's going to take, Bruce. I'm not going to stop fighting for it. I'm not going to stop preaching for it. But at the end of the day, Bruce, people need to start showing up. If they do not show up, we will not win.
We agree 100% on that. I don't know the answer to the question, what it's going to take. I mean, to me, the emergency manager bill and what it's done to the city of Pontiac, what it's done to the city of Benton Harbor, you know, what it's doing to the Detroit City schools, what happened with the charter school down, you know, the Katherine Ferguson Academy, those events, I mean, I went to all those things. And, you know, you're getting a few hundred to maybe 1,000 people showing up. And I don't know why. I don't know what it'll take to get the people of Michigan so fired up that they turn into Wisconsin.
Well,
and they have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people show up everywhere, every time.
Well, we're going to just have to continue. Bruce, thank you for your call. We're just going to have to continue to preach the what we need to preach. We're going to have to continue to stand on the soapbox that we need to stand on. If I need to speak louder, I'll speak louder. I don't care. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to personally commit to doing what it takes. But I'm one person. I can't show up at everything. I had a conflict on Saturday. I'd love to be in two places. I can only be in one place. So I go where I first committed. I'm glad that there's this necessity for my services. And I'm pleased that people are reaching out to me. I'm one person. It's not enough. You don't all have to be me. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. And how many times I've said this? If you can give an hour, give an hour. Just be honest about it. But we can't sit around and expect that things are just going to get better because somebody else is doing the damn heavy lifting. It just doesn't happen that way. It takes a massive volume of people. Folks, let's learn from the Tea Party. We need to give them credit where credit is due. Don't you see that? Do you know what they accomplished? It's much harder to take over the Republican Party than it is the Democratic Party. Yet they did it. They did it. It's crazy. It's insane. And you know what? There's no secret. They just committed to doing what they felt was the right thing and stayed next to it. Yeah, it takes money. But I'm telling you, if enough people show up, the money will come. Oh, yes, it will. All right, we've still got calls coming in. We're open lines to begin the next hour. So I'm going to ask you folks that are calling on now to stay on hold through the top of the hour. We've got Diane Cross with Traffic and Weather, CNN with Headline News. We'll take the break here. Don't punch out, folks. We've got a lot to get to this morning. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Things are picking up out there. A total traffic update getting busier along I-94 into 696, jumping from one freeway to the other as you head west. You'll find pockets of heavier traffic as you try to get to Van Dyke and Jequinder, trying to either get to or past I-75.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high near 83. Tonight, though, cloudy and a low near 69. Tomorrow, cloudy and a high of 84. Right now, we still have some rain and mist at Metro Airport. It's 74 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio. I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story. Congress got the debt deal done in time, but they failed to do anything about the FAA's money problems before leaving for summer break. CNN's Ted Rollins reports from Chicago's O'Hare Airport, almost 4,000 FAA employees are out of work for the next few weeks.
Safety is not impacted at all at airports like O'Hare. That's a totally different pot of money, and if passengers will not be impacted at all in terms of long lines, etc. That is off the table.
The debt deal didn't help stocks. The Dow's lost ground 8 days in a row, including a 266-point drop Tuesday. Regulatory consultant Al Corlin says it's no surprise gold prices continue soaring.
People are looking for a safe haven, as they have for hundreds of thousands of years, you know, in times like this, and they typically go to gold.
Asian stocks were down sharply today. There's no break from the heat, even at night. The temperature in Dallas was still 99 degrees at midnight. This CNNI reporter in Houston says she's sick of the heat.
We are sweltering, and we're just asking for some relief here. Houston is hot as blazes. Stay put. Stay cool.
Many parts of the central U.S. have topped 100 degrees for over a month straight. The man who once ruled Egypt was wheeled into a courtroom in Cairo today in a hospital bed and put in a black cage. Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak is on trial for allegedly ordering the killing of protesters. Prosecutors in Texas are close to wrapping up their case in the Warren Jeff sexual assault trial. CNN's Gary Tuchman tells us about the latest evidence.
They played this audio tape in court that Warren Jeff wanted recorded. And on the tape, Jeff refers to 12 women who are with him as his quorum of 12 ladies. And he says these are heavenly sessions.
Jeff, who is acting as his own attorney, repeatedly raised objections. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
An idea is born, but your team lives worlds apart. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy way to meet online and face-to-face with high-definition video. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, share screens in real time, and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Hi, homeowners. It's Dave with LendingTree again. Have you heard that mortgage rates are dropping? It's true. You can get rates as low as 2.625%, 3.1% APR at LendingTree.com. In fact, homeowners who refinance with LendingTree save an average of $301 a month. That's over $3,600 a year. Hey, in the time it's taken me to tell you all this, you could have called LendingTree. Don't wait for rates to climb. Call 1-800-555-TREE today. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 1136.
Stock and Research in Motion, maker of the BlackBerry, has fallen by two-thirds so far this year as other smartphone companies try to squeeze it out of the market. But rumors of its demise apparently have been greatly exaggerated. This morning, the company is announcing the launch of no fewer than five new BlackBerry smartphones, all using the new BlackBerry 7 operating system, phones expected to be in stores within weeks. This is the biggest product launch in Research in Motion history. A possible way forward for some of the nation's most in-trouble homeowners. Wall Street Journal reports Bank of America is in early talks about a home foreclosure settlement that would reduce amounts owed by borrowers at risk of foreclosure in exchange for a broad release of legal claims against the lender. Global stock markets selling off following yesterday's Wall Street shakedown. Tokyo's Nikkei lost 2%, London's FTSE down 1%. But S&P futures are higher by 9 points, NASDAQ futures gaining 15. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Gentlemen,
I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
I can test drive a car before I buy it. I can try out the gym before I join.
So why not try out the savings at Sam's Club free? It's the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th, where you can shop for back to class and save more on laptops, supplies, and appliances. No membership required.
Test drive the savings for yourself
at the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it.
You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work. On First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Thank you for punching in this morning. Hour two of this First Shift program, and we've got a hot one, not just outside where it's steamy, but inside where the phones are hot. If you're just joining us over the last hour, we've had some very interesting dialogue, and I'm just going to weigh in real quickly. I think that we've become complacent and lazy. Lee in Farmington said we're just very blatant about this. I think that there's some truth to that. I'm disappointed. But I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up in any way, shape, or form. And I've got a lot to get to in this half hour. A little later on today, documentarian and filmmaker Gary Glazer will be with us. Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press and State Senator Gretchen Whitmer. So we've got a lot to get to. I'm going right back to the phones, folks. As always, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let us get to the phones. I want to welcome Chris in Ferndale to the program. Chris, welcome, and thanks for staying over the hour. I appreciate you taking the time.
Not a problem. How you doing, man?
Good.
I want to first off say I listen to the show every day, but I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
Huge Verge Brunell fan, man. Do you not do that anymore on Wednesday?
You know what? Verge is a very busy guy, so when Verge can get his schedule straight, it just gets tough for him, and I'm just trying to be very flexible with him, that's all.
Yeah, well, he's trying to keep the city afloat so Snyder doesn't take it over. But I wanted to call today because I got Bruce's point on the turnout in Wisconsin and the turnout in Michigan, you know, the Benton Harbor turnout. And, you know, unions out here are not being attacked like they are in Wisconsin, so they're not showing up. Rich Snyder hasn't attacked the unions. He hasn't gone straight at them and made it public that he wants to destroy unions, so they're just not catered enough to show up. You get the one or two people that don't want their city taken over to show up, and that's
well, you know, Chris. Well, Chris, you know, one of the things that we may see here in a couple of weeks, and we're going to ask Senator Whitmer about this at 8:30 this morning. You know, if this right to work legislation goes forward, and although Governor Snyder has said he will not support it, he needs to publicly come out against it. If he doesn't, you're going to see unions get engaged real quick.
And hey, then they'll show up, and then we'll get Snyder out of there. But and I wanted to make a point as far as Benton Harbor and Pontiac being taken over by financial managers. But whatever's been going on in those cities in the past 20 years has not worked. It's not working. The cities are destroyed. They're going down the tubes, and they're deep in debt. You know, Snyder's just implemented this plan, and I'd say give the dude a little time to see if maybe he can't turn it around.
Well, listen, we don't have a problem, and Chris, thank you for the call. I don't have a problem. I think most people don't have a problem with the emergency financial manager. It was the changes that were made to their duties and their rights and responsibilities that we have a problem with. To go in and clean up house financially is one thing. To give them unilateral dictatorial powers to take away what we voted for in our communities is just dead unconstitutional and quite communist in nature, to be honest with you. 888-552-3595. Another patient caller joins us, Kevin in Melvindale. Kevin, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Tony. Enjoy the show. You know, you're on the right track, I think, as you continue to pound the drum about people being lazy and complacent. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You know, people being engaged. People during the last election cycle, I think I went to a campaign rally and Bill Clinton was at Redford High School.
Yeah.
And the place should have been, it should have been people to the rafters. And it wasn't.
No, I was there that day, Kevin. There were 300 people there. 300 people.
And that told me something. But, you know, look, it's going to come down to, you know, myself, you know, the people that call in this show that are connected politically. Look, we all have family members. We all have friends that are not into politics like we are. And it's on us to, you know, my family members, I know the ones that will, if you don't get on them, they'll sit it out. They'll be lazy. They'll come up with some reason. No, it's not acceptable. Don't come complaining about what's going on, you know, because these benefits that they're cutting affect a lot of the people that are not getting out and voting. And we're in a position now where the Republicans, if there was any doubt about their agenda, it's clear as ever now. They have nothing for working class people. They put nothing on the table as far as jobs. They've tried to get rid of every social program. And the thing about it that makes it so serious is they don't care. I mean, they don't care about the effect on people. Look at what they are doing to the FAA workers. If that brings it home. This stuff is real. People need to get connected. People need to get their friends connected. And we need to start the march toward 2012. If you're in a state that need ID cards, then, hey, you got plenty of time. Get an ID card.
Absolutely.
If that's a requirement, do what you got to do. There's time out for excuses.
Kevin, I appreciate, again, thank you for your call. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your message. And I'm not going to quit delivering it. And, Kevin, thank you for having my back on that. I appreciate it. 888-552-3595. Mark and Taylor joins us now. Good morning, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tony. Great to talk to you again. We have some good news to report.
I could take some good news.
Well, we were getting out petitions to get the recall of the mayor of Taylor.
Yeah, Jeff Lamrand.
They submitted 5,300 signatures yesterday and announced it at the city council meeting last night, which quickly adjourned to an uproarious applause. We only needed 3,800 signatures to get it on the ballot.
Wonderful. Mark, that is amazing news. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. It was there was a group that was working with the Recall Snyder group that actually got that through. And we also, I agree with you 100% on how to wake up the people to participate. I've been seeing this for quite a while. The unions didn't seem to be really on board. Some of them, yes, especially on the PA4. But you were talking about the right to work stuff. That bill got on the Senate floor in the Senate. That got back on the floor in February, I think it was SB 120. I think it was right to work zones, and they've been sitting in committee since then. I think holding it over the union's heads.
Well, Mark, let me just quickly. That is true. There was the zone. What happened at the very last day of before they went out on their extended vacation was there was a group, and I don't remember the name of the group off the top of my head right now, that dropped right-to-work legislation, blanketed, not the zones, but blanketed right-to-work. So they're two very different issues. Of course, they both do the same thing.
Right. But I think that's what's been keeping the unions from getting really, really involved like they are in Ohio and in Wisconsin. You know, in Wisconsin, SB 5. I mean, in Ohio.
In Ohio, they got over a million signatures for that. Over a million signatures for that.
In less than a month.
In less than a month.
they had over 10,000 union folks hit the streets. Well, we could really use that in Michigan.
Well, again, Mark, I thank you for the good news, number one. Thank you for your call, number two. Thank you for your passion, number three. And we will not quit until we succeed. And this is a good morning to start. If we got your attention, folks, tell me how to keep it. I'll work towards that, too. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Mark in Milford, who's been waiting a long time as well. Mark, thank you for holding, and you're on the air.
How you doing? It's Will. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
You're doing a great job, like always. I call all the time.
Thank you.
But hey, as part of the union, and, you know, on behalf of the union and being a part of the union, there's a lot of us out there doing a lot of things, doing what we can do. But we also understand that the media has negative press. And if we get too involved, then it's the union thugs out there, you know, being beaten, being paid to be there. I mean, we've seen that when we went to Washington, D.C. I mean, we had 150,000 people that went to Washington, D.C., went to the square, and was every bit as big as Bex. Of course, we probably didn't compete with the comedy channel, but that was pretty funny stuff. But we've done a lot of great things. We just don't get notoriety for it. And then the same thing you said earlier, you got to give it to the Tea Party. Well, the Tea Party's heavily financed. And the media is behind them. They got Fox News supporting any little thing they do. You get 100 of those people show up. They'll give you a scene that looks like there's 100,000.
Oh yeah, they'll lie. You know, you're right, Mark. And they'll lie in a heartbeat. In fact, Jeff gave us, and we're going to play this audio in a little while. But Jeff pulled this audio from Fox News yesterday, and I don't want to spoil it, so I'm going to wait till we play it a little bit later on. But Fox News certainly knows how to take an issue. They know how to spin it. They know how to pin the Democrats down and to lift the Tea Partiers and the Republicans up. Mark, thank you for the call. We just need to get to the break. Denise, stay right where you're at. We're going to come right back to you right after the break. We've got some open lines times, folks, so if you want to get in, now is the time to do it. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. I am going to get to some emails as well when we come back from the break. Folks, this is a critical time. We cannot wait until the quote-unquote campaign season officially starts. It started. The bell is rung. Ding, ding. Now it's time to get it on. Are you getting that? We'll take the break. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment?
Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony, and it is a good morning so far. Our total traffic update includes just heavy traffic coming in 96. You're coming in Lake Kensington area, trying to come in toward 275. If you're 275 near 96 M14, a bit busy through that interchange. We're seeing some of the heavier traffic on M10 already, those coming in from 696 down past Southfield Road, trying to head toward that Wyoming curve. We're seeing heaviness both north and southbound on the Lodge.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly cloudy today. Our high near 83. Tonight it'll be cloudy, a low near 69. Tomorrow, look for clouds, a high near 84. Right now we still have some fog mist at the airport and 75 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
They say when one door closes, another opens. For ING Direct customers upset their bank is getting sold, there's this, Ally Bank. Ally Bank offers great rates, an award-winning online savings account, and no monthly maintenance fees, just like you're used to. Plus, Ally has no ATM fees nationwide, innovative products like Raise Your Rate CDs, and 24/7 live customer service, where phone customer satisfaction is over 90%. Go to allybank.com or call 1-877-247-ALLY. Member FDIC.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler. and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
If you're a contractor, you know you shouldn't have to pay top dollar for top quality. So here's another Home Depot advantage. Exclusive WeatherShield pressure-treated decking. Its lighter color looks more natural and accepts stains better. It's pre-treated with a wood stabilizer that reduces splitting, warping, and swelling. And it doesn't require sealing for up to 1 year. It'll help lower your bids and make your business look a lot better, too. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. And the phone lines have been a-humming. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. What's it going to take to get you off the couch? What's it going to take to get you engaged and active? And we're going to do what it takes. I swear to God, we will be there with you the whole way. We're going to get to some emails in here in just a second, but I want to go to Denise and Lyndon, who joins us now on First Shift. Denise, thanks for your patience and welcome to the show.
Hey, Tony, I don't know what it's going to take to get these people off the couch. We've had presentation in schools. We've had our custodial bus drivers, everybody has to fight for the jobs. Some of Canton and Northfield just privatized. I figured 10-year would do it, you know. Get the teachers off their butts. Get them out there. I have been harassed. I'm a volunteer. I've been put in a 3x3 orange square. ACLU just won my case where I can go in Genesee County and petition anywhere. We got to get people out there moving.
Well, you know, again, we do. Let me first of all tell you, teachers are showing up. The one thing that I see everywhere I go are teachers. I mean, everywhere I go, Denise, there are teachers. So teachers are showing up.
But we need all of them. We need them out there. We need Paul Scott. I went to his little thing the other day. We had a few teachers out there. It was great. But we need more. If everyone right now is on break, and I'm out there every single day working and going, if we had everyone out there, we could get the numbers.
Well, you know, Denise, you make an important point here. And again, this is just going to go back to something I simply said earlier that's a very simple concept. I think people are believing that somebody else is showing up.
Absolutely.
I know that sounds really simplistic, Denise, but I think people just go, well, listen, you know, people are showing up. I don't need to go. I'll go to the next one. Or I'll wait until the summer's over. Well, you know what?
I was put in a 3x3 orange square and told to stand there to take petitions, and I fought it. And I stood there, and I put a table next to it and moved around just to see if they'd do anything to me. But you know what? People have got to stop being complacent.
You're right, Denise, and I appreciate this phone call. And thank you for your passion. I truly do appreciate you taking the time to call this morning. I will let you know, folks, that my friend Tony in Dearborn sends me a message this morning, and it reads as follows. Hey, brother, wanted to give you a heads up. We will have volunteers in front of City Hall in Dearborn today, Wednesday, from 11:30 to 3:30. People can either come and sign up and also sign up to volunteer. All right, folks, also sign up to volunteer with an effort to recall the governor as we move towards our new deadline. All right, so today in Dearborn from 11:30 to 3:30, go sign the petition to recall the governor and volunteer. Volunteer. All right, Jeff, it's been a great morning, no question. Glad to see people are awake. Glad to see people are engaged. Glad to see people are up. We had a caller just a couple calls ago that was talking about how the media, especially Fox News, has really helped the Tea Party, right? Interestingly, you played for me a little audio this morning from Fox News. If you wouldn't mind just sharing that with us now.
All right. Speaking of President of the United States, the White House yesterday issued an absolutely lovely statement regarding Ramadan, which is, of course, the holy month in the Muslim world. It started yesterday. It was also announced that the president will also host an iftar, which is the breaking of the fast that occurs after sunset.
Okay, and then some people said that they might have an issue with the fact that he didn't issue a proclamation for Easter. So some people are saying, is this an outreach to the Muslim world, and why isn't there an outreach to the Christian world? This is the statement on Ramadan from the president. Times like this remind us of the lessons of all great faiths, including Islam, that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us.
Yeah, of course, the White House historically does have a White House Easter egg roll, but they didn't issue an official proclamation like they did for Ramadan just now. There's the president with the Easter bunny screen, right? I think he did mention briefly in his weekend address that weekend Easter in passing, but still nothing big. It is Christianity's holiest, most sacred holiday.
I think the coming Easter, I think that you'll see a statement.
Oh, during the election year?
Coming out of the White House. Clearly, it was a terrible, terrible error. And I guess statements are made every year with regard to Ramadan. That dinner is held, I think, with previous presidents as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, the White House blew it with regard to Easter.
Well, they did issue an 8-paragraph, I believe, statement on Earth Day.
Oh, well,
crisis averted.
Didn't quite make up for it.
Not exactly.
All right. Now, come on. That's not just me, is it, Jeff? Did they just manufacture this whole issue?
Well, some people are saying.
Yeah, okay, who are? I made that note. Who are the some people? Did they ever identify who those were?
No, they're Fox News executives, I think.
Some people. All right. Now, again, maybe it's just me, so I'll go ahead and say it. First of all, the president, of course, celebrates Easter. He's a Christian, and of course, he mentioned it. I mean, that goes beyond question. Every president has always issued a statement for Ramadan. The state party, both Republicans and Democrats, issued a statement on Ramadan. The governor issued a statement on Ramadan. It's just what happens. How did this become an issue? Where's the issue here?
Well, we've never had a president whose name was Barack Hussein Obama,
oh,
right?
Oh, that's right. You know, and oddly, I read, again, another one of those polls last week. 7% of the people still think President Obama is not a Christian, that he's Muslim. And, of course, he's not. This just blows my mind. It still blows my mind.
They think he's Muslim. They think he's born in another country. I mean, somehow he's fooled everybody into becoming the president of the United States.
Yeah.
But they know for a fact that he was born somewhere else and he practices Muslim. Maybe.
Todd's really on his toes today.
Or Islam.
Todd's on his toes today.
I see that.
You want to do it?
I guess now's the time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you will.
Todd the intern's song of the day.
All right, here we go. Now that the U.S. has avoided default and the debt ceiling law has passed, it's time to move on and focus our attention on more pressing matters, whether it's creating jobs, protecting workers' rights, or ending the wars. Democrats and progressives must take action and truly believe that there ain't no stopping us now. All right. Got a little disco beat going on back there. McFadden and Whitehead. What a name, Whitehead. Ain't No Stopping Us Now is the song of the day. Thank you, Todrick. Appreciate that a great deal. Before we get to a break, I do want to let people know of an event. And if you want to start showing up, here's your chance to do that. I already told you about the recall signing in Dearborn today from 11:30 to 3:30 at City Hall. On this Saturday, One Detroit Day of Action, Saturday, August 16th, the 14th Congressional District Democratic Party will be hosting a rally, a forum, a get-out-the-signature event at the 14th Congressional Democratic Office, which is at 2225 Livernois in Detroit. All right? All you have to do is show up there. And I'll get you more information on this as it becomes available to me. But it's going to be this Saturday, August 6th. And Congressman John Conyers will be there, Brandon Jessup from Michigan Forward, and many others. This is to repeal Public Act 4. All right? So this Saturday, you got to go. You got to do it. All right, we'll take the break. When we come back, Gary Glazer will be with us, documentarian and filmmaker. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Watching traffic get busier out there as you're coming down 75, about 14-mile road down to 8 Mile. Northbound a little bit slow coming in toward the Reuther. As you make your way out on the Southfield Freeway, remember, we have only one lane open now on Southfield from 94 to 96. So pretty much the whole freeway, you have either one lane and then it's closed from Grand River up toward M10. So that's not going to be your best bet if you can help it at all. You want to avoid M39, the Southfield Freeway.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly cloudy today. Our high near 83. Tonight it'll be cloudy, a low near 69. Tomorrow, look for clouds, a high near 84. Right now we still have some fog mist at the airport and 75 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. 1,300 employees at American Crystal Sugar plants in three states remain locked out of their factories today. The lockout came after 96% of employees voted down the most recent contract offer. The primary issue was a proposal to move the union employees into a health plan that covers the company's non-union employees. That would more than double health care costs to those workers. A second proposal called for some union jobs to be contracted out to non-union workers. However, the company said it added language that would prevent jobs that could result in layoffs being contracted out. American Crystal Sugar is currently using replacement workers to keep the production lines moving. As organized labor pours political resources into the Wisconsin recall fight and other efforts to defend collective bargaining, labor is warning politicians not to take its support for granted. Doug Cunningham has more.
At a nurses' rally in Washington, AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka repeated a warning to politicians that workers want a politically independent labor movement, and labor won't be supporting politicians who don't support workers. Trumka first sounded this warning at a National Press Club speech in May.
Powerful political forces are seeking to silence working people. Working people want a labor movement strong enough to help return balance to our economy, fairness to our tax system, security to our families, and moral and economic standing to our nation. And it doesn't matter if candidates and parties are controlling the wrecking ball or simply standing aside to let it happen. The outcome is the same either way to us. If leaders aren't blocking the wrecking ball and advancing working families' interests, then working people will not support them.
Trumka says AFL-CIO is redoing its entire political program intent on supporting only politicians who support workers.
The robots are coming. China Business News reported this week that Foxconn Technology Group is planning to replace hundreds of thousands of workers with nearly 1 million robots. The rollout will take place over the next 3 years. Foxconn is the primary manufacturer of Apple products and has been plagued with employee suicides in recent years. Students and Scholars Against Corporate Misbehavior investigated Foxconn last year and allegedly discovered bullying and numerous instances of employee abuse. Often, the organization alleged, the company forced employees to work shifts as long as 12 hours without breaks.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. A pleasure to be with you. We're going to switch gears a little bit here. When this idea first crossed my desk, it was a no-brainer for me because there are so many wonderful memories that people have about certain landmarks in Detroit. One of them is gone, but certainly not forgotten. In fact, the name is now gone, but certainly not forgotten. How many of you either personally have a memory of the Hudson's Building or certainly have family that has either worked there or have that a part of their holiday tradition or their shopping tradition? And to capture that, as my next guest has done, and to help us relive that time is interesting. And I had a chance to watch the documentary just last Thursday. And actually watched it twice because it was just one of those things that worth it. What are we talking about? Well, let me bring my guest on for you right now. Joining us now is Gary Glazer. Gary is a documentarian and filmmaker, a director and producer. You may know him from some of the other work that he's done, including the documentary Stranded at the Corner, The Battle to Save Historic Tiger Stadium Borderline, The Story of 8 Mile, and his documentary on the Hudson Building called The Hudson's Building, which is going to be playing at the Detroit Historical Museum this weekend. And so we thought we'd spend a few moments with Gary. Gary, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me, Joey. How are you this morning?
No, I'm great. Thank you very much. You know, I got to tell you, watching the documentary after I met you the other morning, I went home and I plugged it into the DVD right away. And again, I said I ended up watching it twice. There's so much great stuff in there. The memories and the whole journey, you know, from its earliest days, of course, to its demise. I would guess making a movie like this, you probably get to meet a lot of people that feel very passionately about, you know, a building that's no longer there.
Well, yes, and thank you for the kind words, Tony. I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right. What's interesting, this title is not by any stretch my newest title. This film is now, several years old, let's say. But it still continues to resonate probably more than any other title that I've done. I've done roughly 15 of these documentaries, and this one really, I think, resonates with people the most. And people still come out to see it. The Historical Museum screens it a few times a year, maybe three or four times a year, along with some of my other titles. And people come out and they want to talk about the building. We often get people that show up to the screenings that worked at Hudson's. You were exactly right, Tony. It was a pivotal place, not only for shopping, but, you know, kind of socially, too, in terms of, like, I got my Cub Scout uniform there, Tony. You know, see, it was that kind of a store. It was an event store. You got the big items, the important items in your life. You know, you made a trip downtown, you know, to Hudson's.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and part of the documentary, I don't want to give too much away for those that haven't seen it. I really do want to recommend that they get out. By the way, it's going to be aired at the Detroit Historical Museum Saturday and Sunday. That's the 6th and the 7th, 1 o'clock each day. And to watch it is free with your museum admission. So,
correct.
You know, just go and check it out. But, you know, there's the one, you know, there, actually in a couple places, but, you know, there's the one scene where, you know, people are talking about that event, that it was about everybody getting together, getting dressed up, going downtown, and the whole, if you will, Gary, pageantry of shopping at the J. L. Hudson department store.
You're exactly right. When's the last time, I mean, you really hit it right on the head, Tony. When's the last time, you know, the whole notion of getting dressed up to go shopping, you know what I mean? But people did. And the people that waited on you were dressed up. And if you remember the segment about the elevator operators, the
fantastic
elevator supervisors.
Yeah,
right?
Fantastic.
So it really was a special place. And before you even brought me on, you said something that struck me as well, and that is, you're right, Tony, the name doesn't exist anymore. For a while, of course, you know, the store was sold to Marshall Field, and they kept the name Hudson's on the parade for a while, you know, and before they switched to the name, you know, the store name was Hudson's until they switched it all. But there is nothing now, you know, that's named Hudson's. And I think that we as Detroiters over the years, I think that there's some psychological damage, you know, to having your memories completely wiped out like that.
Yeah,
I
mean, but
of course, you know, the film exists, and the Historical Museum, you know, has exhibits from time to time regarding Hudson's and that, so it's not completely gone, but in terms of how it was, you know, for people who grew up with the store, and the parade being the Hudson's Parade, and to have no Hudson's name on anything at all now, I think that, you know, that upsets people.
Well, it does, and there are still people that, you know, of course, now it's today it's Macy's.
Yeah.
But there are still people that call it the Hudson's.
Well, was I wrong? Was it Marshall Field?
No, it was Marshall Fields,
yeah,
and then Macy's. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But there are still people that call it the Hudson's, you know, Thanksgiving Day Parade. There are still people that are, even when they're going to Macy's, they'll say they're going to Hudson's.
Right. Right.
You know, that's just part of an icon that that we don't easily let go. So, Gary, let me ask you. I mean, you've done, like you said, you've done 15 of these documentaries. You actually have quite a cinematography. You've been involved in this industry for a very long time. So why is it that you're Detroit-based and not L.A.-based?
Well, that's interesting. I'm born and raised here. And I, in fact, as you know from our discussions, I told you I spent the 80s, as well as I can remember, but I spent the 80s in Los Angeles working in mainstream television on game shows and sitcoms, shows like WKRP in Cincinnati, Amen, Too Close for Comfort, Jeopardy, The Dating Game, Newlywed Game. I worked at a studio, so every day it was a union job, but every day it would be a different show. I remember when people would meet me, Tony, I was a Detroiter, obviously, and everybody in L.A. is from somewhere else, but people literally, honestly, would say to me, so, you're from Detroit, you ever been shot? You ever shot anybody? And, you know, it really made me realize that Detroit, and this is in the 80s, Detroit, you know, did not have a sterling reputation at that time, and it bothered me what some of the, I remember Peter Jennings coming to Detroit and doing a whole thing in Detroit about how horrible it was. And this is not talking about this recent batch of horribleness, if you will, but, you know, even years ago doing that. And it bothered me that people not from here were, you know, talking bad about my hometown. So my parents were getting older, and the studio was sold. And so, you know, I didn't have work there anymore, so in the early 90s, I came back here to live, and I wasn't broke enough being a documentary filmmaker. I had to be a graduate student as well, so I went back to Wayne and got my master's degree, and I teach now to supplement my income because, frankly, very few documentarians can really make a living strictly on their documentaries. I think it's a federal law, I think, that allows only Michael Moore and Ken Burns to make money. And they make all the money, by the way.
Well, that doesn't...
And they do wonderful work.
Yeah, but I was going to say, that doesn't mean that there isn't excellent work going on. And certainly, I mentioned three of your films. And if people, by the way, want to get the complete list or, you know, perhaps purchase...
Can I make you my site?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sure. It's Glaser Productions, Glaser Productions, all one word, .com. Plenty of, you know, clips there from all my work and interviews with me from back when I was in L.A. So you get to see what I used to look like when I was much younger, less gray. But there's a lot of good video on the site, so I encourage people to take a look. It's GlazerProductions.com. And we update regularly as far as what's going on with my newer documentaries and where screenings are and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite? I mean, you know, I got to tell you, I'm kind of, I don't know that I could pick a favorite of yours. You know, PBS plays a lot of Gary's stuff, so I don't think he's going to be...
Not lately. I mean, they did when they initially came out. I have some issues, you know, I'm not here to, you know, talk bad about them, but I have some issues about the lack of local programming on our own local PBS station here. But yeah, they most of them have, in fact, been on local PBS here. The favorite is always, I guess, you know, the one that I'm most currently working on, and that is a follow-up to the Stranded at the Corner, which was heavily decorated with lots of awards, lots of notifications. And that one, it remains still somewhat controversial, Stranded at the Corner, the battle to save historic Tiger Stadium. So the follow-up to that one is called Force Out, How Detroit Lost Tiger Stadium. And we're actually coming up to a very important date. The earmark, if I can take a second just to explain that, the earmark of Senator Levin worked very hard and took a lot of heat, frankly, for getting an earmark as part of that stimulus package to come to Corktown, $3.8 million for the redevelopment of Tiger Stadium and the field. And, of course, we all know the stadium is gone now, but that earmark expires on September 30th. So we're all very concerned, even though, you know, obviously the stadium is gone, we're concerned that earmark may, you know, in fact, go back to wherever earmarks go back to die. You know what I mean? It may revert back to the federal government. If, in fact, the city doesn't come to terms with any number of the proposals that have been put forth to do something with that space. Now, it has to meet some HUD-specific HUD requirements with respect to economic activity and things like that. You know what I mean? So they can't just throw $3.8 million to save the field. You know what I mean? It has to foster some jobs and other things like that. I mean, you can imagine the language, you know, that comes down in a federal earmark. But the powers that be in the city of Detroit, specifically the Detroit Economic Growth Corporation and the Economic Development Corporation, that's the DEGC and the EDC, have literally rejected every proposal that's come their way regarding that space. And so we're all really now, you know, concerned that, you know, that money may evaporate. And that money was the, let's say, nest egg of the development plans that called for some redevelopment when the stadium was partially there. You probably drove down it down Michigan there, Tony, at some point when, you know, with the...
I actually have recently. Gary, we got to get to the break.
Okay.
We will be putting up the website at our Facebook page, and we're going to visit with you again when you get this new documentary done. Let's make sure we get you back
on,
all right?
Great. Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it.
No problem. Gary Glazer, once again, we'll come back. We've got some phone calls to get to, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We're late for the break. We'll be back.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full-torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Just want to remind you again, it's this Saturday and Sunday, 1 o'clock at the Detroit Historical Museum. Again, your admission gets you in to see the movie, the Hudson's Building. It's really a well-done movie. There's this one great scene in it where there's this elderly woman that's talking about working in the cafeteria there, you know, on the 13th floor in the cafeteria in the basement, how many people that they fed, the chicken pot pie. She talks about the Maurice salad. You know, these are it really evokes a time and a memory that certainly those of us that are passionate about the city truly do miss. It certainly is well worth seeing this documentary. We are going to go to the phones now. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. My buddy Amir is on the other end of the line. Amir, welcome back to the show. It was wonderful to meet you last night.
Hey, thanks for that. I had a good time. Just want to remind you about our conversation about the city of Detroit and the problems of why we're having them today. And your guest that you had on, I wonder, why don't we put a mall right there on the corner where Tiger Stadium used to be?
Well, I don't know that he would have the answer to that. Why don't we do that, Amir? I mean, why don't
that's just something I'm thinking. You know, we don't have any really shopping place in the city of Detroit that we can really go to besides going to Fairlane or Oakland Mall.
Well, you know, they just,
I wonder what that'd be good.
You know, Amir, just last week they opened up that, the Somerset Collection opened up that mini mall. Now, it's temporary, but they opened up that mini mall there on Woodward Avenue. Now, how long it's going to stay, I don't know. I think it's a very temporary thing, like 60 or 90 days or something, maybe to the end of the year. But those are all higher-end shops. And so, you know, unless you got money, there's probably not a whole lot of shopping going on there because the Somerset Collection is not cheap.
Right.
And so
that's why I'm more or less for just a regular mall where you have just regular stores. But the thing is, just like we spoke of when we were speaking yesterday, we do not put emphasis, like your guest was saying in the 80s, how he used to travel around and they'll ask him, well, was he ever shot? And you know, we'll think, in the 80s, I was in my early teens, like 13, 14. And as I traveled around to different sporting events when I played hockey, they would ask me the same thing. Oh, have you ever been shot or stabbed? And I'd be looking like, huh?
Yeah, well, I remember I used to do some traveling, Amir, and especially in the late 80s, early 90s, I'd go somewhere and people would, because, you know, for those that don't know, you know, for a long time, Detroit was the murder capital of the country. And so there was a foundationally good reason that we were being asked these questions. But, you know, people would say, they say to me, where are you from? And I'd say Detroit, and they'd go, on purpose? You know,
right.
Purpose. Of course on purpose.
But people don't ever look at what are the actual issues that have us at the murder capital. What was going on in the 80s? Like I told you, you have people at the Republican running the federal government. And you have people out here who are systematically destroying things so that poor and minorities cannot have the opportunities to move up and afford it. And they hate it. They went around and put more time on crack cocaine versus powder cocaine, all these different little tricks and tactics that they did. When, in reference, him and his vice president was a big part of why the drugs flooded into the America in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's about facts. It's about substance. Just like I talked about our tax base and destroying residency, outsourcing all the business, all the jobs, privatizing everything. I paid 30% more for everything than I did 20 years ago. Why? because they privatize everything. It's about corporatizing the whole city and putting us up under corporate rule. They don't have nothing to do with black and white.
Well, and you're going to find, Amir, as we, and I want to thank you for your call, as we were talking last night, you know, you got to get into that book, Get Up, Stand Up, because that's going to explain this corporatocracy thing. A lot of it gets explained. You know, Jeff, I know, again, that that book really lit something underneath you as well, as it did underneath me. You know, when we understand, it goes back to that follow the money mentality. There's a reason why we don't have malls in the city of Detroit, because people aren't coming down downtown to shop anymore. And why aren't they coming downtown? It's this vicious cycle. It's where they're not coming downtown because there's nothing to do. And there's nothing to do because no one goes downtown, and no one's going to make an investment because no one's going downtown. You know, you see what's going on here? You know, it sounds like
Yogi Berra.
Yeah.
And he said nobody goes to that restaurant anymore because it's too crowded. Like, does that make any sense? No one goes downtown because there's nothing to do.
Right.
There's nothing to do because no one's there.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's one of those things. We need to start solving these problems. We need people that will invest in the city. I can't do it. I don't have the money to do it. You know, and if I did, would I? It's a good question. You know, ultimately, we've got to build attractions. You know, there's got to be a reason. We look at what's happening in Midtown. Midtown's looking beautiful. We look what's happening, you know, in other parts, the Fox District. But, you know, these are pockets. You know, residentially, it's difficult. You know, where I was at last night with the mirror, this is called Bistro's 1917. It's in the Palmer Woods area, which is gorgeous. You know, multi-$1,000 homes. I mean, really beautiful. You know, is really beautiful, but, you know, that's a part of the city. It's not, you know, Detroit's a big city. And you got a mayor that's talking about making it smaller. You know, Detroit has problems. I mean, it has some serious, serious financial problems. Let me go to the next call before we have to get out of here for the top of the hour break. I want to welcome Steve Monroe back to First Shift. And Steve, a pleasure to have you on this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. I just heard Amir kind of bashing the private sector, and I'm thinking to myself, almost 90% of the people in this country work in the private sector, and that's where the government gets its tax base. I mean, why do you bash the private sector as though it's something evil? That's where our taxes primarily come from. I don't understand.
Well, he was taxing. He was saying privatization is not necessarily, and especially for city services. You know, this is privatization does not necessarily service us well. And Steve, you and I are going to fundamentally always disagree on this. I get that. And I appreciate you, by the way, being polite with me. I know that you listen to this show, and I know you know people that disagree with me are not polite with me. So I appreciate that. That's why I'm respectful.
And
I appreciate it. And that's why I'm respectful to you, Steve. You know, I get people that write me to tell me not to let you on the show. I want you to know that. I think that's funny. Well, listen, they've got to hear. We've got to hear every point of view. I want to have a legitimate conversation. I understand what you're saying, but the point, and again, we're not going to fundamentally agree on this. The point that Amir is making, and not that I'm putting words in his mouth, is that when we started to privatize city services is when we saw the city of Detroit start to deteriorate. And this actually started with Dennis Archer. Steve, we need to have this discussion when we got a little more time, but I do appreciate your call.
Okay, Tony.
All right, thank you so much. Stephen Henderson on the other side of this, Senator Gretchen Whitmer a little later on in the show. It's been a fast morning. Thank you for sticking with us. We're punched in. We're staying in. We'll be back with the last hour of First Shift after we take this quick top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. We're seeing some slow traffic in spots, of course, coming in 75, about 14 down to 8 Mile. It's coming in 94 West, a little bit busy in pockets from 696 down in toward I-75 and M-10 and 96. M-10 the Lodge, we've got some slowdown between the Davison up towards 696.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, mostly cloudy today. Our high near 83. Tonight it'll be cloudy, a low near 69. Tomorrow look for clouds, a high near 84. Right now, we still have some fog mist at the airport and 75 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, get ready to hear more about the debt ceiling and deficit reduction around Turkey Day. CNN's Bob Costantini reports live a new super commission is looking for ways to cut spending. Bob.
Well, Bill, turn around twice. It'll be November. That's when a 12-member bipartisan panel is supposed to come up with more deficit reduction ideas.
To put the best interests of the American people and the principles that we've fought for throughout this debate first.
Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell explained no one would be appointed on his side who would consider
job-killing tax increases in the middle of this serious recession.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Democrats won't play that game.
Republican leaders in the Senate saying there will be no revenue. That's not going to happen.
By revenue, Reid means a desire for tax increases on wealthier Americans. Bill?
Congress didn't do anything about FAA funding before taking a recess. Chicago air traveler Catherine Barry says it's unexcusable.
Cut your vacation short, get your back to Washington, and figure something out quick.
About 4,000 FAA employees won't be working for the next 5 weeks. More job losses are expected for thousands of Americans. Outplacement consulting firm Challenger Gray & Christmas reports the number of planned job cuts topped 66,000 in July, which was a 16-month high. Former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak is the first leader to go on trial since the Arab uprisings began this year. He's accused of ordering the killing of protesters. Mubarak was wheeled into a Cairo courtroom in a hospital bed today and placed in a black cage. Tiger Woods returns to the golf course at the World Golf Championship event in Akron, Ohio this week. Tiger tells us what he's looking forward to most.
Being there with a chance to win, whether you win or fail, just being there is just a rush, and it's just so much fun.
Woods has been out of action for almost 3 months with an injury. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you, a fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures, and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I can test drive a car before I buy it. I can try out the gym before I join.
So why not try out the savings at Sam's Club free? It's the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th, where you can shop for back to class and save more on laptops, supplies, and appliances. No membership required.
Test drive the savings for yourself.
At the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
We're getting reports about the U.S. job market this morning, and so far, it's not too great. HR firm Challenger Gray & Christmas reports the number of announced corporate job cuts surged 60% in July from June to the highest level in 16 months. Following that, U.S. stock futures are still higher, but by less. S&P futures up 4, NASDAQ futures gaining 6. In the hour ahead, payroll processor ADP releases its measure of July employment in the private sector. Any number smaller than plus 100,000 jobs would be considered a disappointment. The cost for grains, coffee, beans, and other items to do business as a donut shop, plus the cost to transport all that stuff, pulled down earnings at Dunkin' Brands last quarter. In its first earnings report as a public company, Dunkin' says sales rose 4%, but because of those costs, its profit was down 1%. Posting bigger-than-expected earnings, Time Warner, Comcast, and Hertz. S&P futures up 4%. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I can test drive a car before I buy it. I can try out the gym before I join.
So why not try out the savings at Sam's Club free? It's the Sam's Club Open House event, August 5th through the 7th, where you can shop for back to class and save more on laptops, supplies, and appliances. No membership required.
Test drive the savings for yourself.
At the Sam's Club Open House event, August 5th through the 7th. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Solidarity. A union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union. The state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice. The administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness. Free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality. The state of quality of being. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. It's about freaking time.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano. This is the third and final hour of this Wednesday First Shift program, and it's been a pretty extraordinary day. I want to thank all of you that have been holding on with us all morning as we continue to grow this movement we call First Shift. Pleased to be on this journey with each and every one of you. We'll remind you, as we'll get to in just a moment, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press is with us. At the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by the Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer, find out what she's been doing with her quote-unquote summer vacation. She's been quite busy, actually, looking forward to catching up with her. We haven't talked to her in some time. We do want to remind you, as always, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595, and the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And again, I hope to get to some email a little bit later on in the hour. As we have time, we'll try to do that. With that said, Jeff, let's go ahead and get to our first guest.
Joining us now, editor of the Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson.
And we welcome back Stephen to the program. And Stephen, a pleasure to have you with us again on this Wednesday morning.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
I appreciate it. Well, obviously, we need to, and I'm gonna actually clean up our topic, this topic for now anyway, the debt ceiling, with our conversation with you in this half hour. Stephen, I thought a well-reasoned and written piece the other day, the title of it, Last Minute Deal Inadequate, But It Beats the Economic Crisis. And I guess if you're going to find something good in this, that's something good. We did avoid an economic crisis.
Right. Well, I mean, in the end, those who said that even the Republicans would not push us into default because they understood what the consequences of that were, they were right. And, you know, we got a deal that at least extends the debt ceiling, and I think if you're looking at it from President Obama's vantage point, it extends it past next year so that it won't be much of an election issue. But the particulars of the deal, you know, are not, there's nothing in there for people to jump up and down about.
Well, you know, what's really kind of interesting, and I started off the show, you know, a couple hours ago, with the statement that we could, and in fact, yesterday, I didn't share this with the audience. Yesterday, I sat in on, and I'm sure you've done plenty of these, Stephen, these telephone conference calls with members of Congress.
Yeah.
I sat in on two of them yesterday, one with a Democrat, one with a Republican, because I'm on all these mailing lists. And I really just wanted to get a feel for it. It was interesting because although they both said the same thing, the Democrats saying, putting a positive spin on it, and saying, listen, ultimately we didn't give away too much. We protected entitlements. Everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. The Republican spin on it was, well, of course, we didn't get nearly what we wanted. But, we stopped the Democrats from really, wreaking havoc on the country. At least we've now forced the conversation where it's needed to be. So, we're going to accept this as a victory, even though we know it's not. And then, of course, the Democrats says, we're going to accept this as a victory, even though we know it's not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's real hard to sort out wins and losses in something like this because, again, what you had was a very small minority that yanked the entire conversation away from any sort of reasoned compromise and toward an extreme. And so I think when you do that, it becomes very hard to say that anybody other than that really distinct minority came away with what they wanted. But I'm even hearing that Tea Party folks aren't happy about this because the deal includes the creation of this super committee in the House that will discuss tax reform. They don't even want that. They don't even want that on the table. They wanted the Republicans to win what they wanted without ever having to deal with the revenue side. We really are sort of through the looking glass politically with this issue. I mean, it is very difficult to see how we sort of sew back together the kind of reason, discussion, and compromise that we need in Congress.
Well, and as we look at the word compromise in this, they're calling it a super Congress, which bothers me at some level. Well, it does, Stephen. I'll be honest with you. I'm not comfortable with this committee. I'm really not.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends on who's on it to some degree. It'll be very telling to see who the Republicans name to be on that committee, right? If they name somebody, we're talking on the editorial page this morning about Dave Camp, who's a Michigan rep and chair of Ways and Means, whose committee has already been talking about tax reform, right? They've already started thinking about this. You put someone like Dave Camp on that committee that says, look, we understand that at least we've got to have this on the table, but if you put that committee together without people like him and with Tea Party reps, then I think you're saying that it's not going to work. I mean, you're setting it up from the beginning to not get anything done.
Well, and not only that, Stephen, as we take a look, and I'm going to, you've actually coined it last week perfectly. It's the minority of the minority.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect way to look at it. So we take a look at these 87 people and that they, again, are so staunch in their belief that even to have a discussion about revenue or taxes is off limits to them. Doesn't that define them in a way that should make most people uncomfortable?
Oh, and I think it does. And I think in my opinion, the national elections next year will reflect how few people actually subscribe to that position. The Tea Party has gained power by winning 87 seats in the House, but those are in individual districts. They won one Senate seat, and even that seat was, it was tough for them to do. When you're talking about statewide elections, when you're talking about national elections, I think that position is going to be really tough to maintain. And so I think, the Republicans in particular have a real problem on their hands that they've ceded that much power to a minority that will not appeal broadly across the spectrum. I think we're going to see that this was politically and strategically something of a mistake.
Well, we'll hold out hope. When when the Tea Party, the, during the last election, the 2010 elections, I was actually working for a website. I was blogging for a website at the time. And after the election, and, you know, I was watching the Tea Party movement quite closely, and I wrote, in fact, I went back and looked at it yesterday. You know, I wrote what a relief it was that it was, you know, it was 87 people, which I thought it was going to be bigger. And I thought, well, you know, and I wrote, well, let's thank God only one in the Senate, only 87 in the House. And really, and I wrote verbatim, how much damage can 87 members of Congress do? Well, right. You know, shows you how smart I am, Stephen Henderson, because they could do a whole lot of damage.
Yeah, they can. And but I mean, I think, again, typically we don't see that 87 first year members of Congress. I think it's safe to say. Throughout our history, you've not seen that small of a number of first-year reps wield that much power, even in their own caucus. And that's really the problem, right, is that Boehner and the other folks in the leadership have not stood up and said, listen, you know, you got elected on what you got elected on, but, this is a big caucus, and there are lots of other ideas that are represented here, and you're not going to just be able to, you know, run roughshod over everybody else to get your way. You've got to compromise in the caucus, and the caucus has got to compromise in the House to get stuff done. The failure to do that is part of what has endowed them with this outsized influence. And again, I think that the political consequences of that will play out in some way next year when the Republicans, as they do, you know, every 4 years like the Democrats, have to go to the entire nation and convince them that that they should get, you know, their votes for the presidency. I don't know how you do that if you stick too closely to 87 members of the House.
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was sharing with the audience yesterday. Michelle Bachmann, of course, you know, finally came back and voted. She hasn't been working very hard these days. She's out running for president.
She's campaigning, right?
Yeah, she's campaigning, and a little early to be missing so many votes. Somebody took me to task for that, because they all do it. All presidential candidates that are sitting in office at some point ignore their responsibilities, and they become full-time candidates. I just think it's a little early for it. Anyway, with that said, she does this conference call where she says, a conference call, Stephen, where she says to the people listening in on this call, all right, show of hands, how many of you agree with my voting no today? Pregnant pause, and then she goes, good for you. On a conference call, Stephen, come on.
Yeah, she is a strange candidate, although, you know, the thing about Michelle Bachmann is, you know, she is such a, her personal story is so compelling, and it will be so hard, I think, for the other Republican candidates to attack her, because she does seem like the woman next door, the mother next door.
Yeah, we got to take a break, Stephen. Hold that thought. I want to come back also and ask you about John Boehner and his leadership. Is he going to be able to maintain his position as Speaker? We'll get your thoughts on that. A lot more to get to. 888-552-3595. A quick break here on 1310 WDTW. Tony Trupiano with you. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes an accident working on the Reuther westbound 696. Looks like near Franklin, that's slowing things down quite a bit. Drivers on US 23 southbound before 8 Mile, we have an accident there. 275 north near 94. Also M10 the Lodge southbound near Livernois, trying to clear earlier accidents.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for clouds and a possible rain all day long. A high near 83. Tonight cloudy. A low near 69. Tomorrow cloudy and a high near 84. Still kind of misty at the airport and 75 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
What are you doing in the next 15 minutes? You could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. All it takes is a quick visit to GEICO.com or a quick call to 1-800-947-AUTO.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full-torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
If you're a contractor, you know you shouldn't have to pay top dollar for top quality. So here's another Home Depot advantage. Exclusive WeatherShield pressure-treated decking. Its lighter color looks more natural and accepts stains better. It's pre-treated with a wood stabilizer that reduces splitting, warping, and swelling. And it doesn't require sealing for up to 1 year. It'll help lower your bids and make your business look a lot better, too. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. Stephen Henderson is with me, as he is every week at this time. And, you know, Stephen, I asked you the question before the break. John Boehner's leadership moving forward, he had a real difficult time within his own caucus. And even the vote that finally passed was not an easy or pretty process, and he had to beg a lot of people. You know, one of the things that we haven't talked about much on this show or haven't been much discussion about is when we took earmarks away, it took the speaker's stick away to some degree. Does John Boehner survive this? Was this a vote of confidence for him or against him?
Oh, I think to some degree it's a vote of confidence. I mean, in the end, it does matter what you get done, right? And he got the votes he needed to get. He didn't get as many as a speaker would like to, but I think his leadership position and his control of the caucus is still very much in question. You know, you have this again. You have this block of 87 votes that really seems to be controlling him more so than he can control them. And as you point out, he has fewer tools, you know, in his satchel to be able to influence them. And I think, again, going forward into next year, which is, you know, national elections are very different from midterm elections in terms of what you're trying to do and how you're trying to position the party. He's going to have a hard time, you know, making that the one branch of government where Republicans are a majority look like the rest of America. I mean, he's got to position that caucus so that it seems as though they represent the middle to some degree. And I, you know, I don't know how you do that. I don't know. I think the way you try to begin to do it is by who you end up appointing to this super committee, right? Again, if you let the Tea Party take that over and ruin the chances to get the things done that we need to do, you are not serving that party well going into 2012.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Let's bring this back home and big umbrella, if you will, or maybe medium-sized umbrella. State of Michigan certainly is going to feel some effects from this agreement, although we're not close to really understanding what those numbers are. And I think it even would be irresponsible to guess at what that is. But we do know that there are problems. When I asked you what you wanted to speak about today, one of the things you said was the city of Detroit's deficit reduction. So I'm going to let you go ahead and take the lead on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was funny last week, you know, with all this debt ceiling stuff in Washington, a lot of stuff got missed news-wise. One of the bigger things, in my opinion, was that the Mayor Dave Bing, got the city council to sign off on a deficit elimination plan, which is one of the steps that the city has to take with the state in order to avoid going into emergency manager status or anything else. And it's a pretty, I've got it and I've been going through it. It is a very aggressive document that has a lot of structural reforms in it that we've been talking about for a long time in Detroit, but have never been able to get anyone to sign off on. Getting the council to say, sure, let's approach it that way is a huge step.
And he was able to get that? Yeah, you're right. This really did fall between the cracks because this is totally new information for me.
Yeah. I mean, there's significant pension reforms that are part of this. I mean, changing the way that pensions are calculated, that pension increases are calculated. There's some contribution, I think, that would be asked of employees going forward into their pensions. There are massive medical benefit reforms included in this plan that again have typically been a sticking point between the city and its employees, but also have been a sticking point when they would come up between the mayor and the council. And this council said, no, we gotta do this. And so we're going to be writing about it significantly this weekend because, now that the debt ceiling thing is over, we can sort of focus on it. But, I think it changes the conversation significantly in Detroit and in a way that we need to.
And then no question. Let me kind of just go back to go forward. You know, one of the things that and this has happened at the state level, and I'm going to talk to Senator Whitmer about this when I have her on here in just about 5 or 6 minutes. But, when we also need to begin to have this discussion, it's actually overdue at the national level. We need to start creating some jobs.
Yeah.
And we're not creating jobs. We're not creating the environment for jobs. We know. Now, I've got a poll here from the State of Michigan business executives that are not optimistic. I was in Gongwer day before yesterday. That not optimistic, Stephen, that we're moving forward, that we're going to be able to create dynamic, middle-class jobs. And we're not even having the discussion. And I think the president has a remarkable opportunity. As Congress is about to go on recess for 5 weeks, he can control the media cycle. He needs to talk about nothing but jobs, jobs, jobs.
Right. That's what the big missing piece has been for all of this stuff for 2 years now, is that, we did all these things to get the economy back moving in the right direction, but usually that ignites hiring, and that just hasn't happened. And the truth is, one of the things that is bothersome is that you do have the Republicans saying that the only idea they have for creating jobs is cutting taxes, which, of course, is only going to exacerbate the deficit. And they're not really bringing anything else to the table. I mean, right before this debt ceiling argument, the president had a press conference on jobs where he listed like 6 different things that Congress could do to help start creating jobs. He's got to get back to that list and start really hammering on that and say, look, when you guys come back in the fall, you got to focus on this stuff. Let's stop with the you know, the hysterical sort of hostage taking and the debt ceiling. Let's stop with, you know, interrogations of baseball players about steroids. Let's get to work on doing some things that will loosen up the job market.
You know, it's kind of fascinating as I've been involved in politics, either as a candidate or as a pundit or as a talk show host or whatever, for the better part of 20 years. I've never seen at the federal level so little legislating happen in the first 7 months of a new term. This has to be historical, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing much of anything, and it's because there's not, and you know, there is a sort of paucity of ideas coming from one side about how to do this. They seem to be stuck on one issue, and I just don't think that issue plays with everybody. I mean, nobody likes to pay taxes, but you know, everyone, most people understand that taxes pay for services, taxes fund important government programs, and to some extent, taxes are a pass through the state and local governments that get spent, and that is one of the job creators.
Absolutely. So, Stephen, we're just out of time. Don't forget to watch Stephen Henderson, by the way, on Channel 56 this Sunday, 2 o'clock every Sunday, America Black Journal. American Black Journal, where he is the host. Stephen, we'll look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Absolutely.
All right, Stephen Henderson with Detroit Free Press. When we come back, State Senator Gretchen Whitmer joins us. I'm Tony Trupiano. A quick break, and we'll be back right after this on 1310 WGTW.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes that earlier accident working on M10 The Lodge southbound near Livernois. Also heading west on 696, we've had issues near Franklin from that earlier accident, and then Gawker slowdowns going on as well for east and westbound on 696. In fact, look for the route there to be slow back from before I-75. The normal delays there, add the accident backups, and we're heavy all the way out toward almost Orchard Lake. Drivers on 75 south, very heavy and slow coming in 14 Mile Road down toward about 8 Mile.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, look for rain this morning. Our high near 83, tonight cloudy and 69. Tomorrow, possible clouds and a high near 84. Still some mist at the airport and 75 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. 1,300 employees at American Crystal Sugar plants in three states remain locked out of their factories today. The lockout came after 96% of employees voted down the most recent contract offer. The primary issue was a proposal to move the union employees into a health plan that covers the company's non-union employees. That would more than double health care costs to those workers. A second proposal called for some union jobs to be contracted out to non-union workers. However, the company said it added language that would prevent jobs that could result in layoffs being contracted out. American Crystal Sugar is currently using replacement workers to keep the production lines moving. As organized labor pours political resources into the Wisconsin recall fight and other efforts to defend collective bargaining, labor is warning politicians not to take its support for granted. Doug Cunningham has more.
At a nurses' rally in Washington, AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka repeated a warning to politicians that workers want a politically independent labor movement, and labor won't be supporting politicians who don't support workers. Trumka first sounded this warning at a National Press Club speech in May.
Powerful political forces are seeking to silence working people. Working people want a labor movement strong enough to help return balance to our economy, fairness to our tax system, security to our families, and moral and economic standing to our nation. And it doesn't matter if candidates and parties are controlling the wrecking ball or simply standing aside to let it happen. The outcome is the same either way to us. If leaders aren't blocking the wrecking ball and advancing working families' interests, then working people will not support them.
Trumka says AFL-CIO is redoing its entire political program, intent on supporting only politicians who support workers.
The robots are coming. China Business News reported this week that Foxconn Technology Group is planning to replace hundreds of thousands of workers with nearly 1 million robots. The rollout will take place over the next 3 years. Foxconn is the primary manufacturer of Apple products and has been plagued with employee suicides in recent years. Students and Scholars Against Corporate Misbehavior investigated Foxconn last year and allegedly discovered bullying and numerous instances of employee abuse. Often, the organization alleged, the company forced employees to work shifts as long as 12 hours. Without breaks.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work. With First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, we are in wait of Senator Gretchen Whitmer, so as soon as we've got her, we'll bring her to you. How's that sound? What a crazy morning. What a crazy morning. By the way, I appreciate you guys not going all bat hooey on me because I was criticizing your efforts this morning. I'm real. I'm trying to keep it real. I really am. Somebody had posted to the Facebook page, and I want to read, because we had a caller this morning, an old friend of mine, in fact, that, thought it was unfair the way we talk about Tea Party people, and I call them a terrorist, as have others, and this is what Kim wrote on the First Shift Facebook page. The word terrorist was used correctly. They terrorized my 80-year-old mother, who's thinking she was going to lose her home because her Social Security was being taken away. She was physically ill with worry. Yes, there are terrorists. Yes, they are terrorists, and we should not stop talking about it. Too many people already have short memories. We need to remind them who is holding back the prosperity of our citizens. And Kim, you know, at a very real level, I have to agree with that. Is it too harsh to call someone a terrorist? Well, I mean, putting it in context, it could be. But in context, I don't think I was unfair. And again, if we want to find a better word to make you feel more comfortable, make some people feel more comfortable, I don't know what the word is. I really don't know what the word is, to be honest with you. So, I have real issues with the way the Tea Party agenda has really kind of just taken over the American mentality. It's not like you can't talk about this stuff. That's where it becomes problematic for me, is you can't just ignore the fact that, you know, this stuff's happening. And you say, well, you know, the more you talk about it, then it highlights it, and then they're getting media coverage. You can't ignore this stuff. You know, you can. It's kind of like the Palin thing, although we got to the point where we could finally ignore it, and it looks like it's worked. You know, Stephen Anderson something at the end of our first segment that I just did not have time to come back to. But he says, you know, she's got a compelling story, and it's going to be hard for the other candidates to attack her. You know, it's hard to attack a female candidate. I'm sorry, it's true. That's not a sexist statement, and don't take it as sexist. But they will not treat her equally. And in fact, as crazy as this lady's been so far, and there's been some lunacy in some of the stuff that she said, like on a conference call where she can't see anybody, going, okay, show of hands, how many of you are glad I voted no? Pause, 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 pause. Oh, good. See, I knew you'd get it. That makes me a little uncomfortable. You guys get it? That makes me a little uncomfortable. Kind of crazy. So anyway. we've got to keep our eye on the ball. Now, here's what's going to happen, and I think it's a week or so. The Congress is going to take their summer recess for 5 weeks. They'll be back sometime in September. The state legislature will be back right before Labor Day, and then they really get humming after Labor Day. And so we're going to see, and I think State Representative Harvey Santana kind of framed it fairly good for us on Monday. We're going to see right to work for less. We're going to see, you know, they're already working on the right to life. Michigan's already working on the partial birth abortion ban, which is such a small percentage of abortions anyway. But, you know, again, it's one of those fear, one of those wedge issues that gets people all hopped up. So they're certainly going to, you know, they're certainly going to tag into that. I know they're going to do that. It's going to happen. I'm with you. But I seriously have to wonder when this state legislature is going to start realizing that we need to concern ourselves with the proper environment that is going to create jobs. I had mentioned during the last segment, and I want to share this with you now. Business executives in Michigan are feeling better about the prospect of an improved state economy in the next 6 months, but they're not feeling that optimistic. Less than half believe the economy will improve during the next 6 months of the year. In the survey, 35% said the Michigan economy will get better in the next 6 months, compared to 28% who believed that about the national economy. So they're more optimistic about the local economy than the national economy, and I think after what's just happened, that may change. This actually was taken before the whole debt ceiling fight this week came down. While the state numbers have been fairly consistent since the fourth quarter of last year, which is, again, under our last governor, the survey results on the national economy show a steep drop in optimism from the first quarter of 2011. Looking further ahead, 72% of respondents believe Michigan's economy will improve in the next 18 months, compared to 65% who believe the U.S. economy will bounce back during that same time. Again, respondents were more positive about the state's outlook than the national outlook compared to an earlier survey. Now, what does this necessarily tell us? It tells us that, you know, first of all, the minority of people are optimistic at 35% of executives. Now, these are the same people that are the job creators. These are the people that have money. So only 35% are feeling good about it. So, again, these polls are so weird because then you got 72% said, yeah, it'll get better. What are we basing that it'll get better on? I think I have an idea of what we're basing that on. We're basing that on a hope, a wish, a dream, because we're not basing it on, we can't base it on policy. We don't know that the governor's budget's going to work. We just don't know it's going to work. Well, this is what we do know. His budget, as of this point, has forced 16,000 Michiganders out of work. You know, we're at 10.5%. Actually, we're going to find out either later this week or the beginning of next week what the July unemployment numbers were. You know, will they be down? I'm going to guess not. I'm going to guess they're not going to be below 10.5. Somebody had posted to the Facebook page the real unemployment number. We're never going to know what the real number is. I guess it in Michigan at about 22%. And I base that on a couple different factors. Underemployed, I consider to be almost unemployed. An underemployed person is somebody making minimum wage or a little bit more, working very part-time. And I don't consider them to be, you know, those are people that really aren't paying taxes. You know, they're not contributing to the tax base. And if they're working very part-time, I mean that anywhere from 2 to 4 days and anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day. That's a very part-time job. No one can get by with that income. No one is ever going to be able to pay their bills. You know, even a high school kid's going to have trouble putting the gas in the car, working, you know, 17 hours a week at, you know, 7:15, 7:19 an hour, whatever it is. All right? So as we take a look at that real number, I'm going to place it at somewhere at 22%. Think about that almost one out of four Michiganders does not have a good job. One out of four. That's a lot of people. And then when you start taking a look at cutting services, whether it be the food stamp program, whether it be welfare, you know, these programs are a safety net. They're not here for people to live off of. And I know that there are people that do. I get that. But again, they are the minority. And we've got to stop looking at everything with a microscope. That's why I tell folks, how many times have I said, take a step back, look at the bigger picture. You know, that's why we can't just look over the next 6 months. I want to look down the road 5 years or 10 years. And when I do that, conservatives get very upset with me because they know what's going to happen. If we take that step back and we take a global look at something, a global view of something, it always changes the reality of that situation. Always. And so people are uncomfortable with that. That's all. They're uncomfortable with it. That's okay. You don't have to embrace it all, but you are going to have to learn to live with it. You know, and there's a lot of crap I live with that I don't like. I mean, it should be obvious to you as you listen to the show. Now, I'm looking to change it, but that's my right. You know, part of being involved, engaged in democracy is trying to negotiate change. I'm trying to negotiate some change here. I just need help. I need more people to jump on this bandwagon. And you guys are getting there just a little too slowly for my liking. That's all. So keep all this in mind as we move the conversation forward. This, you know, it gets a little crazy when you don't show up because it can be overwhelming. Now, I'm not going to even sit here, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to clarify this real quickly for you before we go to break. The Tea Party did not win in this fight because they really did not get what they wanted. They wanted bigger cuts. They wanted a balanced budget amendment that was huge to them. And by the way, the balanced budget amendment has to be ratified by every state in the country. So even if it would have been in this, it wouldn't have passed. So do you get that? And even if they would have put it in there, I think it's got to be 2/3 or 75% or 80% of states have to ratify it in order for it to change the Constitution. So it wasn't going to pass anyway. All right, so that they insisted on that and they didn't get it is really not a big deal, but they didn't get it. So that is not a victory for them. They're very unhappy with this debt limit deal. They are very unhappy with it. Liberals are very unhappy with it. Those in the middle are not thrilled by it, but they'll live with it. Now, again, there's a piece that I posted that Eric, one of my listeners, sent to me that I posted very early this morning, 3:30 this morning. That's titled, Paul Krugman is a Political Rookie, or How Barack Obama Left John Boehner Holding the Teabag. Again, I'm not asking you to buy into it, and I'm telling you the people that are reading it are going, yeah, big deal. It's still a turd sandwich. It's still a turd sandwich. Doesn't matter what kind of bread you put it on. It is what it is. Anyway, that's that. Obviously, we're not going to have Senator Whitmer with us today. We'll find out a little later on what's going on. Maybe we can get her for us tomorrow. But in the meantime, we are going to take a break here. We'll wrap things up on the other side. Feel free to give us a call if you'd like to join us. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break here on this Wednesday program. We'll come back and clean it up right after this.
First Chip with Tony. Malia and Sasha finish their homework a day ahead of time. Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. They don't wait until the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. If you know you've got to do something, just do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. And you're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Hey, Detroit. Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
All right, and welcome back. We're getting ready to wrap things up here on this Wednesday show. We do need to get to a phone call and want to remind you, and I want to let you know, actually, before I run out of time today, this Saturday I will be hosting the Democratic, the Wyandotte Democratic Club annual picnic with Mayor Joe Peterson, who is a dear friend of mine. And looking forward to that. If you're in and around Wyandotte this Saturday, starts at 11 o'clock. I'll be there about noon, and I'll be there for the afternoon. Come out and say hi. We appreciate that. We've got some show stuff to give away that we're going to start giving away on the show soon. Some travel coffee mugs, some bumper stickers. So we've got some good stuff we're going to get out to you, I promise. In the meantime, let us get to the call, and then we'll wrap up some issues. I got a couple email I really want to try to get in as well. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Marty and Wesley. And Marty, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. But I guess why I call, I'm not really in any, I mean, it seems we have three political parties at this point. And I call you as a business owner that moved here from California, that I run a missing children's foundation now for the past 15 years. I have not taken a government subsidy or any help from anybody outside of private businesses and organizations to keep my organization afloat. So I look at myself as a true public servant that's helped close about 48 cases. Assisting law enforcement jurisdictions across the United States.
Oh, Marty, and you sound like a blessing, to be honest with you.
Well, thanks. I kind of got involved in it because I had, you know, I personally had something happen to me, and me and my cousin were abducted, and it was, you know, it's just a horrible scenario, but I obviously, like anyone, they take up a cause such as cancer or whatever, they were affected in their lives.
Well, I don't know where you're going with this, but I don't want this call to end without me really sharing with you my profound gratitude and respect for the work that you're doing. Go ahead, Marty.
Well, sir, Dan, thank you again. I appreciate that. And I guess what I'm getting at, you know, I've been able to expand out to 14 states to do what I do, with over 70 people that I've had working so diligently for so long, and I've had to let everyone go outside of three people. I mean, here in Michigan, Oklahoma, and California are handling pretty much everything, and it's like the government has just done so much to the private businesses and organizations that have so kindly supported my actions, and even NASCAR to help me do what I do. And I listen to these people arguing and debt ceilings, and obviously this debt ceiling is just popping up over a lot of presidents doing this over time, but now it seems to be an issue, and I hear all three parties screaming. And my thing is, when at $14.5 trillion of debt, did I call all of them extremists? Because it's insane. I can't raise my debt ceiling. I'm losing my home, my 39-year-old daughter, my kid's mother's been sick 7 of the 9 years that my daughter's been alive, and it's like I don't know where to go for help. I can't do anything. I've filled out as many as 300 applications, which is primarily why I called when you were talking about the jobs issues deal and something that I would like to get involved with you guys in any way that I can to help in what you do, because people need jobs. I think our government should just set an avenue for me to have a path to create jobs rather than trying to do the job of creating jobs. And you know, I'm, like I said, I'm not on any side of the aisle, but it's been a horrific experience for me to go this at the loss of my insanity of my brain. And I still sit here working some missing children's cases as I'm packing up my home with really nowhere even to go and probably having to give my daughter to her aunt since she's very well off.
Yeah,
I have no idea the things that go on in our household because I won't let her know.
Well,
I don't want her to. I'm her father. I'm supposed to protect my kid. But at some point, when will the government stop what they're doing? I don't care who's president. I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. Everyone has their aisle and their arguments, but I can rest assured you, as someone who owns a business, I have been annihilated from the government. And it's just, yeah, to me, the government causes the poverty. that they're the ones that set the avenue for the stage from, in my opinion, the last two presidents we had. I had worked with Clinton's campaign out in California, precinct leader in the 36th district out there, and I just wish we could get someone who could moderate or triangulate or whatever kind of political spin you want to put on it. But like I said, sir, I can't even get any help in my situation. I don't know what to do.
You know, Marty, I'm going to ask you.
So let me to call you.
Well, and I appreciate that. Marty, is there any way you can send me an email? Yeah, I wasn't quite done. Marty, I hope you can still hear me. The call dropped. If there's any way you can send me an email, I'd like to talk to you off air. So, again, it's tony@thetonyshow.org. tony@thetonyshow.org. Obviously, this is a situation where it's going to take more time than we have on air to get through. If I can help connect you to somebody that can help you, I'd be more than happy to do that. But we're going to need to have this conversation off air. So just send me an email with your contact information, and I promise to get back to you. tony@thetonyshow.org. We're going to take another call. We're going to welcome Lee and Pontiac to the show. And Lee, thanks for joining us this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. How you doing? I hope that Marty gets help, the man you just talked to.
Absolutely.
I hope you can help him out or somebody can
We got to figure out what's going on. But, yeah, I mean, this is somebody doing that kind of work, Lee. You got to make sure that if there's help out there for him, he gets help.
Well, anyway, I think maybe a more mild word for terrorists could be thugs. You know, just TT bagging thugs.
You know, and you know, somebody wrote, and let me just read it real quick here, Lee, since we're on that topic. Let me find. Yeah, here it is. It says, Kim and Tony, President Obama and the Democrats were the only people heard telling an 80-year-old mother that she was going to lose her Social Security. I agree we need to remind who is holding back the prosperity of our citizens. And with all due respect, yes, the president said that we may not be able to send out those checks. And, you know, don't shoot the messenger is my point, Lee.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then I've been driving up and down the streets of Pontiac, getting my petitions filled out and turning them into the Waterman Center on North Saginaw Street.
Wonderful.
And I think the rest of them have to be turned in by the 4th. Am I correct in that?
Well, actually, they've extended that, and we're going to have somebody on real soon so that we can figure out how to get because some of the rules have changed in the last 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
And they're actually extending it through the end of September, Lee. So keep listening to the show. Yeah, keep listening to the show, and I'll get this all corrected for you. It's a little bit insane. I'm not terribly happy about that. Very quickly, before we get out of here today, I want to give a shout out to the automotive industry. The Sonic at the Orion plant, the GM Sonic is starting production, and the Chevy Volt has sold out. Can you believe that? The Chevy Volt has sold out. We just ran out of time, folks. For Jeff and Todd, I'm Tony Truppiano. As always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Still seeing the big delays along 696 as you're trying to come in toward I-75, trying to get to Southfield Road, trying to get to Telegraph. Part of that from an earlier accident near Franklin. We've just had very big backups from about Van Dyke all the way out to about Orchard Lake. So pretty much almost the whole stretch of 696 westbound is a problem. 75 South, very heavy, 14-mile road down toward about 8 Mile. We have some delays on 96 heading in toward the 275 interchange. Also, I-94 looks like it's trying to make your way toward 8 Mile and Vernier.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service: look for rain this morning. Our high near 83. Tonight, cloudy and 69. Tomorrow, possible clouds and a high near 84. Still some mist at the airport and 75 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com.